don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
How you doing?
I'm super. Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super. No, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Doesn't get much gayer than this.
The L.A. radio station K-Rock's host, Kevin and Bean.
People used to like me. Then all of a sudden, I don't know how it's evolved like this, but I used to have friends who really liked me. Not women, but friends.
Bean, you're a f***ing asshole. I wish you were on the goddamn Edmund Fitzgerald, you f***ing freak.
I know you're tired. I know you're hurting. And I wish I could say something that was classy and inspirational. But that just wouldn't be our style. Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever.
And now.
First of all, how would you rate the program? Would you say it was excellent, very good, good, fair, or poor?
I think I'd give it a poor.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Wednesday, the 6th of Double December.
Hello, those are my breasts.
Bean, what was that movie from that movie clip from with Keanu?
Oh.
Was that The Replacements?
Replacements, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually liked that movie.
I never saw that movie, but that clip kills me because first he says he can't say something clever, then he tries to say something clever.
Yeah.
Which is really, really stupid.
Yeah. It's a funny clip, and yet I kind of liked the movie.
Pep talk from Keanu Reeves. My God.
Well, we were supposed to believe he was there. I didn't see the movie, but he was probably their quarterback or something, right?
Was he their coach?
He was the coach? Okay, yeah, trying to inspire them for the big play.
I thought he was the coach.
No, he's the quarterback. He was in the huddle. It was like before the big play.
That's what it sounds like.
I don't remember.
So he's giving a big pep talk. Man, if I'm in a huddle and it's at the very end of the game and I look over and our quarterback is Keanu Reeves, I just give it up.
But your replacement, see?
Yeah, but he's Keanu Reeves.
It's a chance of a lifetime. You never thought you'd have it.
He's not even good for replacements. I mean, he's just, he's awful. He's ruined a lot of my favorite movies.
And yet, it's funny, so rich.
Yeah.
And yet so rich and so famous and so popular.
Yep.
And by all accounts, the single nicest guy in Hollywood, too. Everybody loves that dude. Everybody who knows him says he's the best. Not a bad bone in his body, too. Which doesn't seem fair that we hate him so much. So, speaking of football, I love the Friday Night Lights. I've been hooked on it since the very first episode. Right. I really do think it's one of the best shows of the season. Lisa, have you been watching?
Yes, I've been watching. No, I'm on.
Did you see last night's?
I don't watch it yet.
Oh.
Spoil it.
So good. No, I'm not going to spoil it.
Oh.
But it reminds me exactly what you brought up, which is not everybody can do those pep talks, those inspirational, you've only got 15 seconds to get the guys in the right frame of mind to go out there and do what needs to be done.
Right.
And last night, on that show, it's always the biggest game of the year, and it's always a nightmare. It's a disaster if they lose. The coach is going to have to pack up and move. Sure. Exactly. Yeah, because this is, small town Texas, the show's set in where high school football is everything, and he'll get egged if they lose a game, right?
Right.
And I don't know what, it just struck me funny last night because it was just one of those moments with 7 seconds on the clock and they got one play to try to win the game. And it seemed like the coach had nothing. He was like, okay, well, just get out there and do it. and I looked over at my wife and I said, that's the worst pep talk I've ever heard in my life. You got nothing? Get out there and do it? Oh, get out there and do it. I didn't realize that's what we were supposed to do, coach.
You can do it.
He didn't even have, it all comes down to this. He didn't have,
no.
Hey, we could win it here. Nothing.
There are writers. They have time to think about what he's going to say in a pinch.
Well,
it's
sure
not like he's really in a pinch.
No, I'm sure that that's the way they wrote it. I don't know why, but I'm sure realistically
you can't have one of those big speeches in every episode. Sometimes it's just going to be what needs to be done, do it kind of thing, you know what I mean? But it just I laughed out loud because I'm telling you, they wasted their time going to that huddle,
Did one of them look at him and go, is that it? That's what you have for us? Get out there and
exactly.
Do it? Really? Did they get out there and do it?
Well, I don't want to say. I don't want to give away what happened.
Well, if they did, I'm saying maybe we're wrong. Maybe that was the speech they needed.
Yeah, maybe that was what needed to be said.
That's all I'm saying.
Boy, I probably haven't mentioned that actress that plays Lila on that show, though.
Oh, I'm
going to
hit
Lord,
you in
is
the
she
head.
Hot.
He will not shut up about her.
Oh, he's mentioned her before?
Every day.
That's right. Every day about 5 times. I forgot. Yes.
But in my defense, Psycho Mike, isn't she the hottest woman on television? Seriously.
She is the second hottest woman on television.
Who's the hottest, Mike?
Moon Bloodgood.
with the worst name in television,
who's
but the hottest girl on television.
Who is she?
She's on the K-Diggs show.
Yeah, she's the Eurasian.
Oh, I'm not watching
the show where Taye Diggs is like Groundhog Day, where he wakes up and the same crap happens.
I believe that's the only show I'm not watching.
That is pretty much it. You've watched everything else there is.
I watched everything. At least once.
That Friday Night Lights chick is retarded hot.
She's
retarded hot.
Very pretty.
So she's retarded and hot?
No, she's not retarded. But what I'm saying is there's a level of attractive, and then there's a level of wow, and then there's a level of so hot, and then there's a little level of oh my God hot, and then there's a level of I can't believe she exists hot. She's like two levels beyond that, which is she must have been invented in a laboratory because there's no way that's natural. I'm telling you, that's how hot she is.
She must have been created in a laboratory.
Oh, shut.
We've got to get her on the show, guys.
So you can say...
No, I think we don't.
You're hot. That's going to be the interview?
She's really going to be flattered.
I'm going to say, go out there and do it.
Go out there and do it.
Well, I'm just saying, Lila, we got to get her on the show.
All right. I don't think I can even picture who you're talking about. I've seen the show once.
Oh, you have? Okay.
One time.
She's the one who was dating the star quarterback who got paralyzed.
Okay.
First episode, the brunette.
I got you. And she's available now because the star quarterback's incapacitated, right?
They broke up because she was cheating on him with Riggins. Yeah.
Oh, so. She was cheating
and
with him?
And he's like this greasy, no good
rat. Yeah. Low life.
Yeah.
How could she go for Riggins?
Mm. Well, you know, her needs weren't being
met. I don't even
watch
the show, and I don't know that guy, but his name is Riggins, and you can't choose that name.
That's his last name. That's his last name.
I don't care.
Okay. All I'm saying is her needs weren't being met by Wheelchair Boy. That's all. So
well,
I'm going to give her a pass.
I'm guessing that's probably a common problem with wheelchair boys.
Yeah, well, she's like 17. What, she's going to go the whole rest of her life without loving? Come on. She's only human. She's just as God made her.
Did you guys see the clip of, speaking of television, a different topic, but the clip of former President Bush, George Bush's dad, sobbing and crying and sobbing and not being able to get through a sentence? Have you
seen
it?
What was it?
I read the transcript, did not see the clip.
I saw it on Jimmy Kimmel's showed a clip, and I think he was talking about his other son that's the governor of Florida.
Mm. Yeah, he's talking about Jeb.
Jeb. And how I guess he lost in 1994, and I don't know what caused him to cry, but he just was a blubbering, just idiot. He was just sobbing so much he couldn't get through
the
sentence.
Is this a new interview or something that was from 1994?
No, it just happened.
He was given a speech, a question and answer speech in Florida, and he was talking about how that's how you know what kind of man you're dealing with is you see how he deals with defeat. That's how you know who he is. And he's just, you know, just overcome with pride. And like Kevin said, he's just, you know, crying to the point where he couldn't talk.
You couldn't understand a word that's coming out of his mouth. He's crying so much.
Wow.
And then on Jimmy's show, I don't know if they edited this because it seems like it would be hard to believe, but they cut to a picture of George W. in the audience, and he was laughing. Now, again, I mean, that would be a great joke. I would do something like that because it would be funny. So I don't know whether that actually happened or not at that moment.
The president wasn't there.
He wasn't there. Okay, good.
No.
That was funny. Jimmy's like, there's always one jackass in the crowd. I didn't figure it was because it was just too good to be true because he was just crying like a baby.
His dad's getting soft in his old age.
Somebody needs to turn off the waterworks in that man.
Yeah.
He's unable to speak.
Well, you want him to die, right? Because he's like 80.
Well, he's certainly no good to us now.
Because Kevin does have a cutoff at which point people no longer cease to be valuable.
I'm saying, what's he doing? Seriously.
He certainly shouldn't be driving.
He's not building houses like Jimmy Carter. What's he doing? You know?
Well, I'm sure he would say that he's still got some worth to, I don't know, maybe his wife and his kids and all of his
His wife and kids aren't tired of him crying.
He raised some money for Katrina victims.
Yeah, he did. He's hanging out with President Clinton.
Yeah.
He's doing that, yeah.
But I'm fascinated by Kevin's. He lives like in Logan's Run, where everybody has an actual expiration date.
They do. And what I love about it is the expiration date is always like 5 years older than whatever his age is. So it does keep moving. Believe me. When you were, you wouldn't have wanted to kill 35-year-olds when you were 20. I mean, when you were 20, you probably would have wanted to kill 35-year-olds. No. And when you're 35, all of a sudden, 35 is not old.
Nah, you're exaggerating it. But my feeling on old people is, are they useful or not? Like, we used to talk to Sam, our 104-year-old listener, I think.
Yes.
I was great with him. He deserved to live another 10 years.
Why was Sam useful? What did he do?
Funny.
But he just lived in a retirement home.
But funny. Remember when we sent a stripper over and he was all hands?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
But the elder President Bush, though, as Lisa points out, spends a lot of his time doing stuff to be helpful.
Yeah, I
know. He does raise money, for instance.
He's doing that with President Clinton. Who needs less help in raising money and being a good public spokesperson than President Clinton? How much good was the elder President Bush doing?
Well, he might have swayed some Republicans who don't like Clinton.
It looked bipartisan with the two of them out there together.
I know it looked that way, but it really wasn't.
Cut the guy a break. It was, though. Oh,
no, Kevin has decided. He's a decider.
Listen.
Well, shame on you.
All right. Well, never mind.
I learned what I know from decision-making from Lightning, our producer. So,
great.
Stand by it.
Facts be damned.
Yes. Let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We have Panic at the Disco coming into the studio.
That's fun.
Sweet.
Very excited about that. And also, they're, of course, playing night number two of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. Speaking of which, we have more tickets for that in the pit and backstage passes.
Cool.
Yes, I believe night number one we have for you this morning.
That's right. We are going to talk to another couple of Miss Double Decembers.
Okay.
We're going to do two a day until Friday, and then Friday we're going to make a decision on who actually is next year's Miss Double December and gets to go to this weekend's concert.
Yeah,
that's kind
of
cool.
That's when the rain kicks off. Yeah, the saliva will be exchanged on Saturday, I guess, during our broadcast ahead of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas night number one.
Mm-hmm. We have a very, very, very tiny, you can only see with a microscope, crown that we put into the mouth of the winner, and she passes it along in her saliva. So that's the way it works.
Yes.
And we're very happy about that. Assistant producer Alex Superhorse is going to be on the show just after 6. I don't know if you were listening last week when we were talking. Or was it last week or just a couple days ago?
It was Monday.
Monday. SugarDaddyForMe.com is the website where people can go and get hooked up with other rich people. People that have a lot of cash to spend on them. So, and the guy told us a lot of stuff. He said there were 700,000 people. He said there were 60% women, 40% men.
Right. And they screen them.
They screen them. And, yeah. And you don't have to have money. You just have to know how to treat a woman.
Right.
So we had Alex go on and create a profile and, you know, put it up and wait for responses from the guys. And she's going to tell us what kind of guys responded.
I'm eager to hear that. I'm very excited about that. But I also would like to point out that Alex pretends as if she's doing this for the show for research sake, yet she, no way she wasn't already a member of SugarDaddyForMe.com. That's so right up her alley.
Yeah, that
is
could
anyone
be.
Looking for a sugar daddy more to take care of her than Alex is?
That could be, yeah.
She doesn't want a relationship. She just wants somebody to pay her for sex. That's what she wants.
Plus, yesterday we didn't get time to get to Shamu and the sea lions and all the animals that are attacking us. For some reason, animals hate people now.
Well, sea animals certainly do.
Sea animals, yeah. Especially after the stingray, or what was it?
Yeah, that's right. Don't go near the water, I think is what we're saying.
So anyway, that's coming up this morning. There's a fantastic story about a woman on an airplane and how she forced a plane to land in an emergency. They declared an emergency and they land immediately. And the way that she convinced them that they had to do that is really maybe one of the funniest stories I've ever heard. And she is spectacular. Speaking of old people, we have 75-year-old Donna Sheehan and 55-year-old Paul Rafael. And they have created a new website, and they have a new idea called globalorgasm.org. And what they want you to do, they're pacifists. Mm-hmm. And what they want you to do is have an orgasm, everybody on the same day, and think about peace.
A peace or just peace?
No, just peace.
Okay.
Regular peace, you know, no wars, that kind of thing. And if everybody has an orgasm and thinks about peace, then it's going to change everything, I guess. I don't know how that works. I've never been a big fan of that. I've never been a big fan of...
Can't hurt to try, though.
Well, there's
come on.
There's no downside
there
to an
really
orgasm.
Isn't.
Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I mean, that's all good, but it's not really going to bring about peace, I don't think.
Well.
So anyway, we'll talk to them this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's true, I think. I think that's true. I'm not sure what I was trying to
say. Nothing's ever been truer.
Yeah.
It's 5:51 Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, you can still win your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. Both nights, all day long. We'll give you a shot at night number one coming up a little bit later on this morning's show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat at 5:51. Good morning, Ralph.
I need to ask you a favor, Bean. Please stop using the T word.
The T word?
T word.
The one you're
tickets?
Just talking about.
Oh, tickets, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've come to realize that email is a bad invention. Email is bad. And let me tell you why. Because now everybody, whatever pops into their mind, can communicate it automatically to someone else, regardless of its value. So anybody who has the slightest little bitch or little problem or little attitude can automatically reach out and just hit you with it.
Yeah, that's
didn't
true.
Used to be that way. It used to be if you had to write a letter, you had to sit down and type it and put an envelope, put a stamp on it. Most people are like, ah, screw
and
it.
You can send it to one person.
It's not worth the effort, really. Right. I'll get over this. Yeah. It's not a big deal. But with email, this dude, I didn't get tickets. I haven't gone the past 7 years. I'm not going in this year. You're just a loser then.
No.
It's not our fault.
It's a numbers game, Ralph. It doesn't make them a loser. It's just supply versus demand.
No, writing that's the email makes them the loser. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I saw a new study that came out yesterday that said that just a fraction under 90% now of all emails sent in the world is spam.
90%?
89.8 something, or I think it was,
wow.
Is spam, yeah.
No kidding.
How about that?
And the rest is just hate. Reflex. Just the reflex hate. Yeah, just bitching. Email just came to me yesterday. Love your show. Love everything you do on it, except for this one thing they mentioned that we did. I hate that. Don't ever do that again. So you're telling me 99% of the show you love, and there's this one thing, and you can't just bite your tongue and just, that's just something we do on the show that you don't like? Seriously? That's the problem. If he had to write a letter about that, he'd be like, oh, no, I like most of the
not
show.
Worth it.
I'm not going to bother those guys with the letter. But the email, yeah. It's just vomit. It's just electronic vomit. So yeah. I crashed my computer.
So don't send them to you or do?
That's what I'm saying.
Send them to you.
Or don't.
Don't send
or
them.
Or one or the other.
Okay. And don't send them to Bean either, by the way.
No, Bean likes them.
Good tip. Yeah, right. Thank you.
Congratulations to Sarah Chalk from Scrubs. She's so cute on that show.
Who is she? Yes. Which one?
The blonde.
The blonde?
The blonde.
Very cute.
Yeah. She announced her engagement to her longtime boyfriend yesterday. People magazine reports that he popped the question during their Hawaiian vacation while they were on hiatus for filming Scrubs. And she seems real cool. I always had a crush on her when she was on Roseanne. She played the... daughter.
She was the replacement daughter.
She was the replacement daughter. Well,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And she's awesome. Real talented, real funny, real cute. Canadian. More Canadians taking American jobs.
It seems like...
that's where they should build the wall, by the way.
Build the wall from Canada?
Canada? Goddamn Canada, yeah.
It seems like the most people who are that good looking have trouble like losing themselves in a comedy like she does. She's really good about
it. Right.
She doesn't care if she looks stupid.
Yeah, she doesn't lean on her looks very much.
Yeah, she's really good.
Were you up for that particular role, Ralph? Is there a little bitterness there that Sarah Chalk, a Canadian, got it and you, an American, did not?
Yeah, I was up for the love interest for...
That's what I thought. Okay.
Jack Fraff on Scrubs. People Magazine's telling us that Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn have split after a year. You know what? I got an ass full of these two already. They're together. They're split up. Who cares? For now, we're just ignoring you now, Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn. We are officially ignoring you as a society. We're no longer interested whether you're dating or not because we can't get a bead on you. And you won't tell us the truth, so screw you. Lane Garrison, this dude from Prison Break, 26-year-old actor, the accident in the SUV. He played Neuter on that show.
I don't think it was Neuter, but
Tweener, wasn't it?
Tweener.
Tweener, yes. Yeah.
Anyway, odder and odder details coming out about this guy as well as the accident. You know, he crashed his Land Rover SUV with three teenagers riding in it while he was under the intoxication of alcohol, allegedly. A 17-year-old boy died in there. Two 15-year-old girls were also in the car. What he was doing with a bunch of teenagers late at night while he was drinking, we don't quite know yet. But the story gets even odder. TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, reports that Lane Garrison grew up in Texas, being raised partly by Joe Simpson.
Oh, no.
Jessica Simpson's father and manager.
Really?
That guy's nuts.
Yeah. He had a trouble when he was a troubled teenager. He was a thief, and he would steal cars and stereos. And his mother, after 2 years of dealing with the problem, just gave up when he was 17 years old and sent him to live with their local pastor, who was Joe Simpson.
He was a pastor?
He was in the church, involved in the son of the church somehow. It doesn't say here exactly how, but I remember reading another story. I thought he was a family minister. Yeah, the minister.
Okay, all right.
He was the minister. And so he grew up alongside Jessica Simpson for several years before he moved out. Which goes to show you, this guy screws up every kid he gets his hands on.
No kidding.
Ashley, Jessica, now this dude.
Can you imagine, though, being a teenager and being living in the house with Jessica Simpson?
Yeah, that'd be all right.
That'd be okay.
Or would it? Or would it just drive you crazy?
Both.
Would it just make you just even more angrier young teenager?
Both. You just walk around with earplugs in.
She's younger than him, right?
She is. He's 26. I think she's 24.
Four,
Yeah.
Anyway.
So she was 15. Well, she'd be hot.
I'd be even more disgruntled youth if I was growing up around that.
No kidding.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
Finally, someone's paying attention to the fact that Britney Spears is running around without her underwear and not taking care of her kids. New York Post Page 6 reports that LA's Children and Family Services have called Britney to set up a meeting with her. They want to check in, see how Sean Preston and Jaden James are doing.
So does she.
Apparently, the Child Services group is concerned with her all-night, nonstop partying with Paris Hilton and friends while she's got two young children at home. And they thought, well, let's just check in and see how the kids are doing.
She's made friends with them by now.
Well, she knows them on a first
Child Services.
Yeah.
I saw Courtney Love on the red carpet of something. Oh, she was at the Billboard Awards. And she said, you know, people have said a lot of things about me, but when my daughter was born, when Frances was born, I stayed home with her virtually 100% of the time the first year of her life.
A lot of parents do that.
As much of a partier as I am, that was the priority. And she said, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, bring down anyone else here.
I don't know who I could be referring to.
Yeah, don't try to make it seem like I'm coming down on someone else, but that's how I handled it. And if Courtney Love is telling you you're handling things poorly, you got trouble.
She's the voice of reason.
When she's outperforming you as mother, you need to take a hard look at your parenting
how
skills.
How old is that baby? 3 months old?
Eight minutes.
Yeah, just barely. And Sean Preston, apparently Britney Spears called Sean Preston, and he had this to say.
You're dead to me.
So they're not happy about it. She's gone way too much.
It's rough.
That's what I'm saying.
ABC's moving Lost out of its usual Wednesday night time slot when it comes back.
Now what?
Well, here's the thing. If it airs when it usually does on Wednesdays, it'll be going up against American Idol.
Oh.
Oh, you don't want that.
And ABC is already having issues with Lost, and it's decreasing popularity, so they're going to move it. Looks like they're going to put it on Thursday nights.
You mean there's another American Idol? Is that what you're telling me?
In January. Comes back, yeah.
God.
ABC's going to put a couple sacrificial lambs in that slot instead. Two sitcoms, Knights of Prosperity, and In Case of Emergency, will be moved into the Wednesday night time slot.
Gee, I wonder if those two will make it.
Say goodbye to those.
Yeah. Knights of Prosperity hasn't even aired yet.
Right.
No, neither has In Case of Emergency.
Oh, my God.
These are two mid-season replacements they're going to put up against the most popular show on television.
That's just mean.
They might as well just cancel it now.
They should just not air anything.
Just run a test pattern on ABC's during American
ridiculous.
Idol. Yeah. And interesting news regarding this Dreamgirls movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beyonce's deal has been leaked in terms of what she's making.
Excellent.
Wow. Several sources reveal that she earned $12.5 million to play the character of Dina Jones in Dreamgirls. Role loosely based on Diana Ross of Diana Ross and the Supremes from the 60s. And apparently her manager slash father was also able to get her a 17% royalty on sales of the film's soundtrack album.
No kidding. That's
17%
huge.
Is enormous.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of people will be buying it for her songs, though.
Industry insiders say it could be the best-selling soundtrack in history.
Oh, my God.
So that would mean a lot of money for her.
A lot of money, yeah.
It's a good thing, too, because she doesn't have any, and her boyfriend's flapper open.
That's true. So. She could use a few bucks. Meanwhile, there's a lot of rumors about a feud between her and former American Idol runner-up Jennifer Hudson, who co-stars in the movie with her, because Jennifer has the flashy role. She plays Effie, the fat underdog chick who's got the big show-stopping number in the movie, and got a lot of attention last night. It was so funny. Last night, I'm watching the entertainment shows, and I guess it's Entertainment Tonight. Could this American Idol reject be an Oscar winner? And I was like, hold on. Movie's not even out yet, and you're already giving this girl an Oscar.
Yeah.
For her first acting role ever.
It's for your consideration. If you've seen the Christopher Guest movie, for your consideration, it's exactly what it's about. It's like fake Oscar buzz, just so they have something to talk about. Anyway, Beyonce says about the alleged feud between the two that there is none. And she said, I knew that I wouldn't be the star of the movie in terms of, you know, what character people focused on, because my character wasn't the underdog. Look, I already have 9 Grammys. Everyone knows I can sing. I just did this because I wanted people to know I can act.
Okay.
So, there you go. Reasonable. Just reminding us she has 9 Grammys, in case you forgot. Today's celebrity birthday is Janine Turner. She played Maggie on Northern Exposure. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
That was a real good show.
It was.
Whatever happened to her? Last thing I know, she was selling me something for dry eyes. Some commercial she had. She's 44 years old today. Peter Buck, guitarist for REM, turns 50 years old today. And one of my favorite comedians, who you don't see at all anymore, I just wonder whatever happened to him, Stephen Wright. Remember Stephen Wright, the comedian?
Oh, sure.
He's awesome.
Guy had a real dry delivery like this. It's awesome. Here's a little Stephen Wright feeling. You know.
I like to fill my tub up with water, then turn the shower on, act like I'm in a submarine that's been hit.
When I get real, real bored, I like to drive downtown and get a great parking spot, then sit in my car and count how many people ask me if I'm leaving.
He's the best.
That's funny. That's,
even his, that's his act. He'll get up and do 200 in a row of those. And yeah. You can't imagine how he can keep them all straight.
Yep. And I always respected him because he's got to write every one of those.
Right.
It's not something you can just get up there and start talking like some comedians do. He had to sit down and work out exactly how each of those things played. I mean, it was all about words and putting it together. A really talented guy. He's 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
On Monday, we talked to a guy who has a website called Sugar Daddy for Me. And his name is Gotham. And I didn't believe one word out of his mouth. He's got this site called Sugar Daddy for Me. And apparently people who have money, guys who have money go there, and girls who need money go there, or do girls also who have money go there? Alex, you're our assistant producer.
Both. They do sugar daddies and sugar mamas.
Okay.
Yeah.
And but he told us you don't have to have money. You just have to know how to treat a woman. Which I didn't believe for a second.
Well, he was making it sound like not all of the women that were on the site are just looking for that kind of sugar daddy, financial assistance. Right. Some of them are looking for dates, looking for people just to take them out and be nice to them, is the way he made it sound. But if that's the kind of site, then you're on Match.com. Don't be on SugarDaddyForMe.com if you're not looking for a sugar daddy, I say.
Well, I don't think we believed him. And so we sent our assistant producer, Alex, to make a profile and to put it up at SugarDaddyForMe.com, and she did that. And remember, the guy told us that she would have, what did he say, 50?
Oh, I don't remember.
How
the
many
exact
in the first
number?
Hour?
I don't remember, but he said I would be contacted in like 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So Alex put it up, and she's here to share with you the results from that website.
First of all, you've created a monster. Because
why?
This is all Dave, the King of Mexico, and I care about.
Right.
So we come in.
Really?
We spent 2 hours each day on the site.
2 hours?
It's fascinating. It's awesome.
Alex, before you tell us about the response rate, for folks, most folks, of course, haven't seen the profile at right. SugarDaddyForMe.com, but you are Miss Alex, and tell people how you describe yourself and what it is you said you were looking for.
Well, we kind of wrote it as a group in the office. You guys came up with my profile headline, which is SoCal Girl Seeks Financial Liberty.
That's a nice way of saying I want cash.
Yeah, yes. We wanted to, you know, put it nicely. About me, liberty. I wrote, "Hello, gentlemen. I am a single gal who works in the entertainment media industry and happily reside in the South Bay of Los Angeles. I'm always game for a concert, new movie, sporting event, or spontaneous road trip. As for my looks, I'm 5'6", 34C, have long blonde hair and green eyes. Thank you." And then I wrote the most generic kind of profile for a guy to see who would respond.
Right.
I said, "I'm interested in a well-educated man who is comfortable in his own skin and has a good sense of humor. He should appreciate the finer things in life and enjoy sharing them."
Oh, that's what you want. Wow, yes. that's unique.
"And no married men or Scientologists, please."
And right, my so you age, do it. Even though you're the super whore, you do have standards.
Yeah,
no married man, no Scientologist.
And my age range was 25 to 50. We just sort of threw open a really wide net. Well, the very first guy I heard from in about 10 minutes
yes.
was, his user ID name was Chunk.
Chunk.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that sounds hot.
And
why would anyone describe themselves as Chunk? That's a bad visual, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, what's even better is his profile headline. "Attached hot man with big bucks wants hot sex." So he's already married.
Yes.
So he hasn't obviously read the profile.
Right.
Which I realized most of the people who respond don't. They don't care if they're 65, right. 70, married, living in New Jersey.
Wow. Okay,
they're still
going to
email you.
So far, this is just a way of soliciting hookers.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was he in bed?
He was heavy.
Okay.
So far, I've had, they kind of break it down in guys who look at you, and then if they like you, they send you a kiss.
So you can tell when they look at you
yes.
and then don't respond to you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, you can write them back and say, "Hey, what's wrong with me?"
Well, because they just see, like, your picture and then they read your profile. And some guys who were, you know, 70 realized they shouldn't respond. Some guys who were, for example, 63 living in Huntington Beach.
Did respond.
Chose to respond.
Nice.
Oh, no.
Nice.
So I had 63 looks. 15 were married guys.
Okay.
Nice.
18 were divorced
mm-hmm.
and 30 were single. The scariest part is where I'm popular.
Where you're popular?
Turns out I can have a new life
between your legs?
Arizona or Canada.
Oh,
because that's
yeah.
where most of my hits came from.
Well, Arizona is renowned for having old people who don't like cold weather. That's
yeah.
where they go to retire. So there's a lot of old people there.
I just want to say big ups to Apache Junction, Arizona
yeah.
and Vancouver, Canada.
For all the people that are listening to our show there?
Yeah. Okay. Online. You don't know.
Did you get 63 kisses or 63 looks?
I got 63 looks and I got 7 kisses. But a lot
Only
of them
seven.
But a lot of them email you without kissing. It's really weird. They can kiss you or they can email you.
Oh, I see. They can do both. Okay.
And they can put you on their favorite list.
Okay. What was the average response? Was it, I'm looking for sex for money?
The average response was like guys in their 40s who honestly are looking for a date. However, I did get this email right this morning from Sooner69.
Sooner69. Okay, so he's from what, Oklahoma? Is that what he means, Sooner?
I don't have it here, but it says 20.
Maybe he means the sooner he can get some 69, the happier he'll be.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the email he sent. 20s, in your prime. I'm Mike. I'm 6'5", 250 pounds. Very well endowed. Let's play Naked Twister. But, like, I don't get it. Like, this guy responded to me. He lives in L.A. He's 44. He makes $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
My headline, SoCal Girl Seeks Financial Liberty.
Right.
In caps, in his description, if you're just looking for a free ride, please go somewhere else.
That's what he wrote to you.
Yeah. Why would you respond to me if you're not looking for a girl who wants cash when we put that in my profile on purpose?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Alex is definitely looking for a free ride.
But,
so far we know that it doesn't matter to the guys what you write.
No.
It just matters who you are and what they think you look like.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter where you live. You don't have to be in the same state. So my
and there is, I don't know if Alex mentioned it, there is a picture. I mean, people can see she's young and
that's
attractive.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah, so that would be enough for a lot of people to sit down and write to you. Yeah.
So my favorite are the user IDs that I heard from that obviously describes the men. I heard from Marky Mark. I heard from Bad Mofo for You.
Oh, yeah.
Golf Hunk. Crazed Psycho. I'm the daddy.
Wait a minute.
It's
wait a
my
minute.
Dime.
Crazed Psycho.
With a K.
He puts that in his profile.
Crazed Psycho. And then It's My Dime. I like that guy. He just gets straight to the point. And their profile headlines tell a lot about them. One guy said, don't bother unless you are worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Surfer looking for a nice ride.
Right.
Got fragrant panties.
Sure.
And then my favorite guy was a guy from Atlanta who wrote, I'm not rich. I just want to see the hose.
Nice.
So, well, this site is all it promised to be and more, don't you think?
Considering I could have a date in about a week.
Yeah.
Because apparently Troy Boy Toy 2, who lives in Culver City and makes about $400,000 a year,
yes,
is the least scariest guy who responded.
All right, we'll pay for it if you go out on a date.
The best part was his picture, just his torso.
Yeah, it's like neck down, and at the bottom of it, his thumb is kind of pulling his pants down a little bit, but you can't really see anything. It's one of those.
So
like,
we've been emailing. I gave him the general office number, so he doesn't in case he's scary and chops me up and puts me in his Porsche.
Right.
So I looked at his pictures. He's not an ugly guy. I don't know why I didn't put them up, but whatever. So we're kind of emailing back and forth, and I wanted to go out on a date with him so I can
absolutely
see what the.
By the way, we shouldn't have to pay for it. I think Troy Boy 2 will pay for it.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
He's the sugar daddy.
He's the sugar daddy for me.
He's totally, he seems like he gets it. He said, I look like a nice painting in a museum, something you want to stare at and take home.
Ooh.
Wow. Does that work, Alex? Tell me that, because I've been out of the game for a while.
I don't know.
That sounds a little scary to me.
It does. I think it all depends on the delivery and the guy and where you are. Over email on sugardaddyforme.com, creepy.
Yeah.
You take me out to dinner after a couple drinks. You put a roofie in my drink. Oh, that's the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
Okay.
I don't know.
Let's not maybe suggest the roofies as much. But,
but I do want to give advice to some guys.
Yes.
Advice. Yes.
Who put their pictures up. Mm-hmm. There was an alarming trend that guys would just put their car. Photos of their car, the console, the leather,
Alex,
the trunk,
this site
the wheels.
Is just for people who want to know whether they're rich or not.
I can't have sex with the car. Okay, cool.
Have you tried?
You really can't. You really can't, by the way.
And the other alarming trend is guys with pictures with their cat. Cat on their shoulder, them and the cat on the couch.
Yeah, that's no good.
Wow.
Creepy, and they're trying to be sexy with the cat. Like, oh, you're my little kitty cat.
Oh, man.
Bad. Hmm. And then the torso shots.
Yeah, that's odd.
I don't know who that body belongs to.
That's awesome.
Odd choice.
Seriously, you have to date that guy.
Seriously, I think I will end up going on a date with Troy Boy Toy too.
And you need to bring a microphone.
Oh, yeah. It'll be like the Nick date. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
It'll be good.
And I want to ask one last question. Did you hear from this guy?
Loving the internet.
Chip. Hanging on every word.
Chip.
Masturbating for you.
Chip.
He's the internet predator. Chip.
You hear from him?
Ew, I hate that guy. You know I hate that.
Oh, you're way too old for him.
It makes me cry and want to crawl in the corner and rock back and forth.
You're over 16, right?
Yeah.
Way too old for me. Way too.
Give me my favorite song as we talk to another of the finalists who will be next year's Miss Double December for the Kevin and Bean Show. Will it be Lauren C? We'll meet her in a moment.
Sing it if you know it.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
Nice melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
That's right, they're breasts.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my p***s is hard.
Lauren C.
Yes.
How are you?
How are you? Good morning,
we're
Kevin
good.
Bean. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Nice to talk to you. Sorry to make you get out of bed so early this morning. You live in San Pedro, and your pictures are up at krock.com. Have you been to the site? Have you checked out your competition, Lauren?
I have.
What do you think of the crop of girls this year?
Day.
Oh, really? What do you think of the crop of your competitors this year?
They have nothing on me.
You have nothing on you. Oh, I like that. A little confidence.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, Laura, we got a couple of basic questions we got to ask as we meet the ladies all this week. We're talking to two each day, and then at the end of the show on Friday, we'll call whoever wins Miss Double December and hook them up for the weekend. But why are you interested in this position? Why do you want to represent our show for the next year?
Because I just love K-Rock. I've grown up listening to you guys. I listen to your show every morning. I just think it'd be so much fun.
Okay, fantastic. We also had you fill out a questionnaire, and some of the questions are, what celebrity would you like to be stranded on an island with? I'd like to be stranded with Dane Cook. He's incredibly sexy and funny, hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
What would the title of your autobiography be? The Fabulous Life of a Good Girl.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Is that sarcasm, or what is it?
No, it's the truth. I managed to have the best time and go out and party without sweating myself out.
Well, it seems like a waste of that body. I got to be honest.
Omar just said in my headphones, she's out.
Hey,
no, but wait a minute. So then that's followed by the next question, which is, what's the most unusual place you've made whoopee?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, in a wood shed in the backyard of my friend's house during a party.
Well, it was with my boyfriend at the time, and it was just in the backyard of a party. It looked like a good idea. It was actually a tool shed with lawnmowers in it. We barely fit in it, so I had to lean over the handlebars of a lawnmower.
Nice.
Dangerous, I have to say.
It does.
It does seem like, and you're on the blade.
Yeah, if you're in a little room with blades, it does seem like you ought to be a little more careful of that.
At any point did he say, I've got a tool for you right here?
Hey! The tool shed. All right, let me see. Good. Continuing with Lauren, see, if you were a stripper, what one song would you love to dance to? Now, this is unusual. Because, of course, you know, Queen, great band and all. Fat-bottomed Girls, not a song I would ever imagine being played to strip club, but that's your song, huh?
Yes, definitely.
And it doesn't look like you have a huge ass. You can't tell from the picture, but I'm just saying. And the K-Rock song would be Enter Sandman by Metallica.
Oh, Mike's happy.
Nothing wrong with that.
And if you could have a superpower, what would it be and why? I would love to have the power to transform myself into anything for any given period of time. So she wants to transform herself into a bird and then Paris Hilton and all kinds of different things.
Well, that would be interesting.
It would be fun. Yeah.
Lauren, tell me about the girls. How long have you had the boobs?
They're real.
Oh!
No.
They are.
Really?
100% real. Yes, they are.
You know, that
is
shocking.
You
don't. I'm sorry, what?
If they're real, you can feel them.
Okay. If you win. You don't see that very often on a girl where they're A, real, but B, the rest of her body doesn't match the double
the
D's.
The size,
you know what I'm saying? That's not very normal, because usually when a girl loses weight, that's where she loses it.
True.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had them pretty much my whole life. I developed pretty early, so.
Like 8, 7, 9, something like right around there?
What is that like? Do you love them, or do you kind of hide them up because they're a pain in the ass because of all the attention that they bring you?
No, I love them.
Hate that attention. Can't stand that.
Yeah. Well, you know, some girls do complain if they've got too much, that's all anybody ever sees and they don't take them seriously and all that BS.
there's a place and a time. You have to, sometimes you cover them up and sometimes you let them out to play.
Well, sometimes they need air. That's right. two generic questions that we have to ask everyone. You're not pregnant right now, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
Well, we did have that experience one time, Laura, with a former Miss Double D. That's why we have to ask.
And how old is this picture?
Sunday.
Sunday, okay.
Oh, all right.
Excellent.
There you go.
Okay. Well, she's in the prime of her life, ladies and gentlemen. So you go to krock.com, you click on Kevin and Bean, you'll see all 10 finalists for Miss Double December 2007. Now you've had a chance to hear what Lauren C. is all about, and we're grateful you sent in the pictures. Good to talk to you, and we'll definitely get back to you if you win. All right, Lauren?
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
You bet. Thank you. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number, 24 hours a day, and you can leave any message on any topic. The first one, I'll just play it for you.
Hey, guys, I have a name for the Cat Peck. How about three letters? STD.
STD.
Okay.
We were coming up with new names for Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears. And the listeners came through with a lot of good ones. That one, not so good.
No.
Well, it's not the Poontang Clan. That's for sure.
That's true, yeah.
I probably called the Afro line about 5 or 6 times. You guys never played anything. And I always thought it was your fault for not seeing how funny I am. But now I realize I need to drop down to get my thing together.
That's right. No, that's right. You do sometimes have to drop down and get your thing together. That's true.
Thank you, Kramer. Good to hear from you.
Lightning, we did lightning strikes. And he's obsessed with people who don't have a landline. And by that, I mean a phone that's wired into the wall and the earpiece is also wired. It's not enough to have a cordless.
Yeah.
You have to have a landline.
Yeah, I was just listening this morning, listening to Lightning go on and on about why people should have landlines, and he's convinced me. I'm getting rid of mine. I'm going strictly with the cell phone. Thanks, Lightning.
Hey, Lightning, I'm calling from myself. And hey, Lightning, F you.
What a love.
You know, a lot of people do what we do, and I'm glad that first caller picked up on it, is you hear what Lightning's position is, you hear his argument for it, then you absolutely know the right thing to do is the opposite.
Yeah, you just go the other way because he's wrong, man.
Right.
Absolutely, that's the way to do it. We like specificity when you call in with requests so we know exactly what you're talking about.
Hey, can you play that one song by the Chili Peppers?
Okay, yeah.
Strange you should ask. That's next on K-Rock.
We'll get right to that. Here's one about a commercial that we play.
Yeah, I was just listening to that Carl's Jr. commercial about how that chick was talking about how she likes meat. Speaking about meat, hey, Lisa, man, do you like meat? Because I got 10 pounds of tube steak for you, baby.
Yeah.
Lisa May, speaking of mailmen carrying packages, I got a big old package I'd like to stick in your mailbox. Scared you.
All right, listen, it doesn't work with everything necessarily. Here's a Christmas version of a popular song.
Popozao, popozao, popozao. Come on, join in. The words are easy. Popozao.
He lost enthusiasm for his own carol.
Bean is obsessed with toast. He's the only person I know that's his favorite.
My favorite food
is toast.
Yeah.
Bean, I heard you suck for toast. I just want to know, do I need to invest in butter or is dry good enough for you?
Oh, why do you have to take something so beautiful to make it so ugly?
He's just looking for a little clarification, man.
Wow.
Woo-hoo! I got Almost Acoustic Christmas tickets, and I was smart. I was late to work. If I hadn't been late to work, I would have missed the opportunity to go to Almost Acoustic Christmas. Night 2 rocks!
Yeah, you might want to keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should get beat up that way. And finally, another request.
Hi, I'd like to request any song by Wing.
You got it. From Kevin to Bean, Super Christmas, Wing.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. Over the field we go, laughing all the way. The bells on Buckle Ring, making spirits fly. What fun it is to ride and sing a sing song tonight.
Best singer ever?
Yeah.
She's a beautiful spirit.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Heard enough?
No.
Oh, what fun it's to ride a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Okay, that's all I can take. You know what's shocking is you start playing the song, and I know it's coming, and it still blows you away when she opens her mouth and starts saying, you still almost can't believe it's real.
It's shocking, yeah. 323-520-AFRO is the number if you want to leave a message.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
As soon as we play Everlong by Foo Fighters, we'll be giving away those tickets.
Took care of that.
So
I already did that. That's done.
That's finished. That's over with.
As we look back on the year 2006... They always have these lists and whatnot about what's going on this year, and I always find them interesting. Well, Yahoo, the search engine.
I'm sorry, who?
Yahoo.
Thank you.
Yahoo!
Much better.
Has released the top five most search names on the internet this year.
Ooh, interesting.
Top five. Has to be all chicks, right?
Female celebrities do feature heavily in the top 10 list. And let's take a look at some of them, shall we?
Okay.
Fifth, Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
Paris Hilton was only fifth. Surprised.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jessica Simpson was fourth on the list.
Sure.
Shakira takes the third spot.
Sure.
Steve Irwin.
Really?
His death made him number two.
Wow. Well, he's a hot piece of ass.
Can I guess number one?
Sure.
Britney Spears?
Yep.
Yeah.
Britney, the most searched name on the internet in 2006. It's the fifth time she's topped the annual list in the past 6 years. So five out of 6 years it's been her.
Well, she had a real good run here in the last few weeks, too, right? I mean, that has got to have helped her.
Yeah, that gave her a big boost because everyone's looking for her naked cooter.
That's what she had to say about it.
I like meat.
Okay. She was tied with douchebag, apparently. both of those words often at the same time were looked up.
That was just silly.
Sorry. You know, I love these auctions for celebrity and movie memorabilia.
Right.
Well, they did one yesterday in London. Was raising money for a charity called City of Joy Aid, which helps raise money for Indians living in poverty.
Okay.
Not the, not those kind of Indians.
Not those kind. Oh, people in India.
Feathers, these mean. Kind of Indians.
Okay.
It raised a whole bunch of money. They were auctioning up some interesting stuff. A bunch of decommissioned guns that had been used in the James Bond movie series, which were kind of cool. A lot of Star Wars props, including a design for Obi-Wan Kenobi's costume, a C-3PO mask. And but the one that really just blew me away, there's an iconic film from 1961 called Breakfast at Tiffany's starring Audrey Hepburn,
right? Mm-hmm.
Who is a legendary movie star. You probably don't know her now because she's been dead for a number of years, but back in the 60s, she was sort of the Julia Roberts of her day.
Right.
And she wore a famous black dress in that film. How much do you think the black dress she wore in Breakfast at Tiffany's went for an auction yesterday?
First of all, I want to tell you that my wife loves that movie and wanted, and wanted me to check on how to bid on it.
Oh, really?
And I said,
that's funny.
Not in a million years.
Have you seen the films and she loved it? Did she ever make you see it?
I don't
know. It's real good. It's
I think
a real
I
good
have,
film.
Maybe.
Truman Capote wrote the book in which it was based. So it's a real good film and she's great in it.
How much?
Well, Kevin, maybe you're lucky you didn't put down a bid. Maybe you're lucky your wife didn't want it too badly. Because it ended up going for $800,000.
Oh, my God.
Almost $1 million for a simple black dress.
Wow.
$800,000.
My favorite thing about that is that people will, I imagine they'll send some kind of certificate over, but I'm sure that person's friends are going to be going, yeah, right, that's the dress.
It is. It's the, I swear.
It's $800,000.
Yeah, you do usually get a certificate of authenticity or one of those things, but still.
You made that on your computer.
No, it's really, she wore it. Yeah, a lot of that. Beyonce and Jay-Z set to wed this weekend, if you believe the rumors.
Really?
Reportedly, they're planning a secret wedding in the Caribbean this weekend. They're planning a 4-day birthday party, in quotes, down there in St. Bart's, and everyone's saying that it really is just a cover for the wedding that's going to be happening. They're going to get all their friends down there for a 4-day celebration and spring it on them that it's actually a wedding. Surprise wedding. So to kind of keep the paparazzi and the journalists at bay.
How do you think the surprise is going?
So far, so good. I buy it. And here's a great story about Oscar winner Jennifer Connelly, who's one of my favorite actresses. Liked her before she got anorexic, but still... she's very talented. She's in that new movie, Blood Diamond, with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Bede.
About the Afrikaans.
No bell for her? Really?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Right. I'm sorry. My bad.
All right.
She was working on the film, and she was doing a car chase scene in the film and damaged her neck. Got a neck injury. So it wasn't bad enough that she had to be hospitalized or anything, but she was in a lot of pain, so the on-set doctor gave some pain meds.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, Jennifer Connelly is acting like Kevin in Vegas.
Really?
She said, I had never had a serious neck injury, which was a shock. And the meds were a shock also, frankly. They give you these pills, and on the label it says, do not operate any heavy machinery.
Right.
But in my case, it just said, do not leave the house under any circumstances.
Oh, no.
Apparently, she was at a cast and crew dinner during the shoot while she was under this medication and made the mistake of drinking some wine.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's a bad mix.
Next thing you know, she says, I vaguely remember talking to someone saying, I thought it would be a good idea if I, who has no experience or credentials whatsoever in editing film, were to edit this film. I do remember getting irritated with my husband, Paul Bettany, who was kicking me under the table because he could clearly see the person I was talking to was, in fact, the editor of the film. I then also tried to replace the DJ, evidently, at the club we were at because I thought I could do better.
I love that.
Paul gracefully dragged me home before I got pummeled. So now she knows what it's like to be Kevin. Which is rough.
Wine and painkillers mixture?
That isn't good for you.
No, it is not.
Right.
And earlier this week, I was talking about the fact that Hinder and Eddie Money are getting together to work on a song.
Yeah, that's a convenient way for me to avoid both.
Yeah, well, you're not going to be able to avoid Eddie Money because I mentioned that Eddie's got a new Christmas song.
Yeah.
And the email poured in.
Oh, it did not.
The email
you're so
poured in.
Sorry, we're out of time.
And here in my hand, I hold the email that poured in.
The one?
From Nicolette. Ralph, I'm all about hearing the Eddie Money Christmas spin. What can I say? Guilty pleasures. What would life be without them? Have a fantastic day, Nicolette. Just one of the one emails I got about this. And Nicolette, you're absolutely right. And who am I to deny Nicolette her joy?
Well, Ralph does care about each and every K-Rock listener.
Especially Nicolette.
Who is he the guy to ignore Nicolette?
Especially Nicolette.
Sure wish we had time to play that. But,
so now, let's give you a little taste of Eddie Money's brand new Christmas single. Please enjoy Eddie Money.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
No, I don't.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
No.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. And a guest in New Year.
That was different.
I don't think.
I am in.
Good time for everyone. Everybody loves Christmas.
Yeah.
I'll count the ways. You know it's almost here. Well, Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be rocking at the Garmin household this year, my friends. Sit around the tree, listen to Eddie Money, the money man. You're rocking with the money man.
You're amazing that you still like him after you went down to the fair and stood on the side of the stage to do a duet with him and he forgot you.
He's busy.
That's
his excuse.
Yeah, well.
But he made it up to me. I saw him at the Candy Club not too long ago. We were hanging out and he apologized profusely and he's rocking Christmas this year and I couldn't be happier. So, Nicolette, that's for you. Nice. And all the other emails I got about that, that's all for
you. How many
people.
Others did you get?
That's not important, really, I don't think.
But total number. Just give us a ballpark.
I'm not hung up on numbers.
Is it above one?
Above?
Yeah, like higher than one?
It's
like,
not below one.
It's
I'll
not
say
below.
That much.
Okay. Is it two?
I would say no, it's not two.
Less than.
It's a number other than two.
Is it less than two?
It's not important where it is in relation to two, I don't think.
Okay, all right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Janine Turner. She was Maggie in Northern Exposure. She's 44 years old today. Peter Buck, guitarist from REM, turns 50. And Stephen Wright, one of our favorite comedians around here. We don't see nearly enough Stephen anymore. He's 51 years old today. And for those of you who don't know the magic of Stephen Wright, I thought I'd play a little taste of one of my favorite comedians.
I spilled spot remover on my dog. Now he's gone. I put instant coffee into a microwave oven. I almost went back in time. I have several hobbies which I enjoy to the fullest. I have a large seashell collection which I keep scattered on the beaches all over the world.
See? How great is he?
He's awesome. Funny.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, we're just playing AFI. That's one of the many great bands that's playing Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. Why don't we play a little game we like to call...
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Morning, hey, announcer man. What the hell's going on?
Well, I made a mistake, and I actually turned up Doc, who's in the other room preparing his news.
Then.
Well, that's not going to help us.
Good stuff.
Yes.
Good sound.
Mr. Nelson, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, we are smooth like butter this morning. Here's the deal, Mr. Nelson, man. 30 Seconds to Mars, Wolf Mother, Seosin, Papa Roach, Plus 44, Fallout Boy, My Chemical Romance, Incubus, AFI, and Foo Fighters are all playing Saturday night. I understand we have contestants on the line that are ready to play the game we like to call...
The hardest game in the world!
You want to explain it to them, Mr. Announcer Man, please?
Here's how we play. We will be playing for you the name of one of the bands performing at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006 Night 1 or 2. All you need to do is identify that band. Unfortunately for you, the name will be backwards. If you correctly identify it, you'll go into a drawing and you'll win a pair of tickets.
I think these are all bands from Night Number 1. I think we're even narrowing it down more.
Even better.
Yes, to give people a chance.
No, it's not.
It isn't. Okay.
They tell me they're Nights 1 and 2, the bands.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay. Got to start having a meeting or something. All right. They are in the pit, and they are backstage passes. Mr. Announcer Man, please introduce us to contestant number one.
Let's talk to Joy. She's from Alameda. She's an office assistant. She helps offices.
Joy, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready for the hardest game in the world?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's your band, backwards. Tell us what it is forwards.
Yeah, for it.
One more time.
Please.
Yeah, for it.
AFI?
AFI.
Nicely done.
Well done.
Well done, Joy.
You go into the drawing. Hold on.
Next up is Ryan from Corona. He sets up trade shows. Hey, you want to trade? Okay, give me mine. I'll take yours.
Ryan, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, here is your band name backwards. You have to tell us what it is forwards. One more time. Ryan?
Yeah, I'm there. One more time.
Don't say the Beastie Boys.
Can't do it one more time. We give it to two times each.
It's this artist is performing this weekend, so it's a name you've heard a lot on the radio for the past few weeks. Take a guess for us, Ryan.
I didn't really hear it, but I'll go with Seosin.
Beck.
Sorry, Ryan. Sayosin.
Next that up is really... Catherine. She's from West Los Angeles. She's an audit assistant. She helps audits.
Catherine, good morning.
Good morning.
You ready for your band backwards?
Please give me an easy one, please.
There you go. Sir, that's a pretty easy one in this game, I think. You want to hear it again?
Yes, please.
All right.
Sir, woof.
Oh, my God.
It's backwards.
I don't know. Let me see.
Gotta take a guess, Catherine.
Just imagine it the other way. Foo Fighters.
Yeah, we thought the ooh sound at the end might indicate that it's at the beginning. And the
oof.
Sorry, yeah, oof at the end really does kind of give it away.
What's oof backwards?
Oof. So far, I think we just talked to that sea lion a few minutes ago.
Foo!
It is foo. Yeah, that's true.
Next up, let's talk to Ixachitl from San Pedro.
How do you pronounce your...
It's Sochi, but close.
Sochi. X-O-C-H-I-T-L.
I think it's just for that
Xochitl
thing.
Yeah, no?
Oh, yeah. It's our fault. Your name's spelled X-O-C-H-I-T-L.
I thought you were giving me a ban. I was going to scream something out.
Okay. And it's Sochi.
Is that a Hispanic name?
Yeah, it's Aztec.
All right.
It's Aztec.
Here you go. Here's your band.
You gotta see that Apocalypto movie.
Here's your band. We're going to play it for you twice backwards, then you got to tell us what it is. Here you go.
Never snow. Yeesh.
Okay, one more time.
Never snow. Yeesh.
Okay.
What band?
Sochi?
One of the bands from one of the nights.
You give us a name here. So far, Joy on line one is looking
revenge?
Pretty good.
She wants revenge. Oh, well done.
Nicely done. I didn't think Xochitl was going to get it, but she pulled through.
Good job, Xochitl.
Lisa, the spelling is X-O-C-H-I-T-L.
I see that.
Okay, excellent. Who do we have next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Matt from Woodland Hills. He's a stucker for Crate and Barrel. Hey, I'll take those chairs.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, Alisa May.
Hello,
hey,
Matt.
Hey. How's it going, Matt?
I smoked too much this morning already. All right, here's your band backwards.
Sub-ing.
One more time.
Sub-ing.
What is that band forwards?
Snow Patrol?
Incubus.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Incubus. You can kind of tell if it's one word or two.
Sure.
You?
Yeah. Some people can.
All right.
Although that's a lot of syllables, though. It does make it a little bit harder. All right, let's do one more, Mr. Dowser. Who's our final contestant?
Joel from Glendale works for a title company. What are you going to call this? Give us a title.
Joel, good morning.
Good morning.
Here's your band backwards.
Swear it, Nat. Slojny.
One more time.
Swear it, Nat. Slojny.
One of the bands that's playing this weekend.
32nd of Mars?
Angels and Airwaves.
Oh.
That wasn't a bad guess, though, because it was a longer title, obviously.
It's the hardest game in the world.
That's why we call it that. So we only have two winners. It's a choice between the two. We have Joy and we have Skoxnickel.
Hey, yo, check this out. And the winner is...
Soft Death Swallow.
Really?
Exo Chittle, everyone.
Exo Chittle, we can't pronounce your name, but you are going to be in the pit for night number one, and you have backstage passes.
Thank you.
And thank you for playing the hardest game in the world. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Her name is the hardest game in the world.
We can't stop Al Gore from going around with his goddamn slideshow everywhere he goes.
He sure likes that slideshow, doesn't he?
On this year's Kevin and Bean Super Christmas, Al Gore went to the North Pole.
Damn it, Morty. You're my publicist. Do something. Have you read the tabloids? I'm taking a beating with this drug sleigh-driving thing. Well, first off, let's get me into rehab. Then let's set up a meeting with some elf leaders. Tell them I want to reach out and heal the damage or some bullshit. Yeah, well, then we've got to get me some positive press. Wait a minute, I know. Book me a guest shot on a hot TV show. How about Lost? That show's f***ed up enough to have Santa drop by. I don't care if J.J. Abrams is Jewish. Get it done. Listen, somebody's at the door. I gotta go. Get on the stick, Morty. Or so help me, you're gonna find a lump of coal Christmas morning up your ass.
Hello, Santa.
Why, it's former Vice President and almost President Al Gore. What are you doing here?
I'm sorry to bother you, Santa, but I'm afraid I've got some bad news. And I wanted to come up here and tell you in person.
Well, come in. So, what's this all about, Al?
Well, Santa, I think you've got a problem.
Yeah, I guess you heard about the arrest, huh?
Yes, but that's not what I'm referring to. Here, let me show you. See, here's a picture of the North Pole 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And here is the same area today. You can see, the North Pole is melting.
Oh, crap. So this is all about your global warming bullshit.
And you can see here that the drastic changes in the climate are causing some of the indigenous wildlife to turn into cannibals. Here, one reindeer is eating the other's genitals.
What? No, Al, he's not eating the other one. That's Donner and Blitzen. They've got a special relationship. Kind of a broke-back reindeer kind of thing, you know, but who am I to judge, huh? What the hell is that?
Oh, how did that get in here? That's me and Tipper at a Star Trek convention. Aren't my pointed ears cool? I love Spock. He makes me seem downright emotional.
All right, that's it. Come on. Come on, let's go. I'm sorry, Al. I love the planet and all that happy horse, but I've got some real problems. So you're gonna have to sell Armageddon someplace else, okay, Dr. Doom?
But I...
Sorry, Al. Goodbye. Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 and all that bullshit.
Santa.
What?
Can I have my slide projector back?
Here.
I think it's broken.
Yeah, well, I'll get you a new one for Christmas. If there is a Christmas this year.
Oh, man. Bad goings on.
Poor Santa. Yeah,
bad
poor
goings
Santa,
on.
Poor Al. Neither one of them have a good day right there. That's from Kevin Bean's Super Christmas. From time to time, we'll get an email from somebody who'll say, hey, I went to this Best Buy store, and they actually do still have some. It's mostly sold out, but if you look hard at Best Buy, you can find it.
All right.
With the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. Ralph, Eddie Money is still the king. Dear Ralph, I find it hard to believe only one person wrote in support of the Money Man. Well, now there are two. Play the whole damn Christmas song.
No.
Okay, Ralph, Eddie Money, no offense, was popular
25 to 30 years ago?
I have to hear about Kevin and his drinking in Vegas, Bean's animals, and the freaking Edmund Fitzgerald. Lisa's dog's anal glands. Please, give me some money, man. P.S. Happy Holidays. That's from Chad Weber. Chad, I appreciate that. This one. Hey, Rob, I came in late on the showbiz beat and missed you playing the Eddie Money Christmas song. Please replay it every hour. Garrett, the bad tattoo haver. Remember Garrett, our guy with the tattoo on his leg? A little love from Garrett.
Ralph, well, make your point.
Well, I'm just saying, the Eddie Money love is pouring in right now, and I did play a little bit of the Eddie Money Christmas song earlier, and I promised, you know, if the people demanded, I would respond. So please enjoy the kickoff to your holiday season with a classic, Eddie Money and his Christmas song.
A good time for everyone, everybody loves Christmas.
Come on, how can you not just fall right into the holiday spirit when that song comes?
How do you feel about homosexuality?
Anybody else have a clip they'd like to play?
No, that's it.
Well, okay. I started one and then got preempted, so.
I'm just saying, that's a great song. Thanks, everyone who demanded to hear it.
Ralph, you have the ability to put songs on your iPod, don't you?
I don't, actually.
You don't? Okay.
No. No. I've got one of those coal-burning iPods.
And this all makes sense.
You have to play what it comes with.
So the only place you can hear music is right here on the air on
K-Rock.
Our show?
Hey, that's where I go to K-Rock. I heard it on K-Rock. That's what I say.
But
I walk
not
around
any
people
money.
And say, hey, I heard it on K-Rock.
Right, but not
that's
any
my
money.
Motto.
But not
I heard
money.
It on K-Rock.
But not any money.
And I play what I want to play, too.
That's
my other motto.
Oh, God. No. No,
come on, Eddie Money.
Ralph,
you love Eddie
Ralph,
Money. Eddie,
no.
The Christmas song.
No, Ralph.
It's
no,
Christmas.
No,
you should
no,
play the
no.
Christmas
no.
song. Christmas.
Could you be any gayer?
26-year-old prison break actor Lane Garrison. He's in some serious trouble.
Yeah, no
over
kidding.
The weekend, he had a car crash in his SUV. He was driving a Land Rover, and he had a 17-year-old boy and two 15-year-old girls riding with him. Now, it is suspected that Lane had symptoms of alcohol intoxication after the crash on Saturday. His lawyer's saying he just had a margarita with dinner.
Yeah, just like
yeah,
Paris.
Right. That lie never gets old, can I tell you?
And never works.
I had one beer, officer, at dinner. That was 3 hours ago, though.
I heard he had amnesia, too.
Well, after the accident, he was knocked unconscious and was taken to the hospital and didn't have any memory of what happened.
Did he still think he was in prison?
Yeah, he thought he was.
Didn't realize he was out.
Yeah, I've seen this episode of Gilligan's Island. If you hit him on the head with a coconut, his memory will come right.
It'll come right back. Yeah,
I saw that too. Yeah. But here's why he's so screwed up. Here's why no jury in the world would convict him. When he was growing up in Texas, he was a troubled youth, and his mother gave up on him after dealing with 2 years of his stealing cars and stereos and what have you. So she had him go live with the family minister in Texas. That minister was Joe Simpson. Jessica and Ashley Simpson's father and manager.
Oh, no.
Is that the guy that was talking about Jessica's rack?
Yeah.
Her own father.
Yeah, she's sexy, man. She's going to blow up. She's built. She's hot. My daughter.
He's the minister. He was the minister at the time.
He lived with the Simpsons for almost a year. Well, you did a hell of a job, Joe. Seriously, and all those kids. They all turned out just great.
Yes, they did.
Speaking of Jessica Simpson, tragic news. I mentioned earlier in this week that she was filming a performance at the Kennedy Center Honors on Sunday night for Dolly Parton when she screwed up the lyrics. And apparently the reason she got so distracted was her strapless gown was falling off.
Yes.
So she had to hold that up with one hand and clutch the microphone with the other, and she was trying to read the lyrics off the cue cards and just got all schmageggied. And
I hope the show is on HBO so we can see that.
She got flustered, ran off the stage saying how nervous she was, and reportedly was in tears afterwards because of it.
Right.
CBS
was there is a happy news.
CBS was debating whether or not to play the gaffe or not in their special.
Debating? That's the only thing to watch.
Well, it turns out we won't see it, Kevin.
What?
Because Simpson asked for a mulligan, a redo, a retape. And they went back after the show was over and taped her segment again.
Boo!
So they will edit that into the actual broadcast.
Come on.
I know. Trust me, I don't like it any more than you do.
Come on.
How badly does Jennifer Lopez want a baby? Well, apparently bad enough to turn to such extreme measures.
As hooking?
As Scientology.
Oh, no.
What?
In Touch magazine reports that Jennifer's friend, King of Queens star Leah Remini, who is a Scientologist, has taken J-Lo under her wing and is helping her get pregnant by putting her through the purification process. That's right, exercise and vitamins. Apparently, Leah says she was told she couldn't have kids, and after she did the Scientology process, she got pregnant.
Okay.
So they can just knock you up like crazy over there in Scientology.
Has she considered a date with Kevin Federline, the most fertile man on the planet?
Yeah. Apparently, if you show up one of his shows, his sperm leaps off the stage and gets you pregnant.
So. Seriously.
So Jennifer is turning to vitamins and exercise.
Wow.
I wonder if Tom Cruise gets calls at 2 o'clock in the morning from people who are infertile.
He does, and he solves their problems.
And he helps them, right? Especially if they're dudes. I'm saying he helps other men. He helps men if they have problems with their relationships.
Right,
that's what
sure.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
And Rob Lowe told In Touch magazine about a decision he made that he regrets today. He told them that he was offered the role of Dr. McDreamy on Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
Read the script and said, nah, this ain't going no place.
Didn't think it was going to be hit?
Nah.
This is the guy that left West Wing to do Lionsgate.
Yeah.
So yes. Ultimately, of course, it went to Patrick Dempsey, and he's hotter than ever. Rob now admits that he regrets that decision.
Yeah, I bet.
How many times does he bang his head against the wall when that comes on the air?
No kidding. Every week.
I think
we should
beat
CSI.
We do these call-in topics from time to time where we ask people to recant their horrible stories.
Right.
I would love to hear from people who made horrible, horrible decisions, things they missed out on by just, you're at that fork in the road and you make,
yep.
You make the choice on the right, and if you had made the choice on your left, your whole life would have changed for the better.
I love those stories.
You just screwed up. Like the time Big Boy offered me a job.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
And I took this one. Oh,
yeah.
I could have been sobbing in the neighborhood. Me and Tito could have been hanging out.
Tito, you'd
like to hang out with me,
oh,
wouldn't
oh,
you?
He's bing, me. I love you, Rao, hey? Mira, mono fine.
Well, time. I know my wife would be calling in that day on the phone.
Oh, yeah. Imagine if she just hadn't gone to Vegas that night.
Yep. Talk about a woman who had a choice exactly like you described. Fork of the road just went the wrong way, and it's a one-way street, and she can't turn around and go back.
Today's celebrities who are celebrating their birthdays, Janine Turner from Northern Exposure and from that stuff that makes your eyes wet. She's 44 years old today.
It's a man.
Gene Simmons.
What's up,
Gene?
Speaking of parts of your face getting wet with things, I have something that'll make your face wet.
Yeah, I don't think that was in the commercial.
Things in your eyes.
I think it was a different drug, I think, she had for people with dry eye syndrome. That's the last time I saw her. So what I think of. Now I think of her, I think of dry eyes. She's 44 years old today. Peter Buck. You know him as the guitarist for R.E.M. He is 50 years old today. And Stephen Wright, very, very funny comedian that you don't see nearly enough of anymore. I don't know what he's up to, but I miss him. Here's a little taste of Stephen Wright for you.
I like to fill my tub up with water, then turn the shower on, act like I'm in a submarine that's been hit. When I get real, real bored, I like to drive downtown and get a great parking spot, then sit in my car and count how many people ask me if I'm leaving.
You get shot like that in Southern California.
Oh, man. Nobody's tempers flare up more than the guy who's sitting in the parking lot waiting for you to pull out.
Yep.
You can't pull out fast enough. They still look at you as if you are just a jackhole for not just peeling rubber out of that spot so they can get into it.
Yep.
It's fun to go slow. Stephen Wright's 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know, we find embarrassing stories quite funny. And that's why we have a call-in topic many times when we want you to tell us about what happened for Thanksgiving or whatever. It's usually if things go wrong, that's funny.
Yes.
There is a flight that was heading for, I think,
Texas.
Nashville. From Nashville to Texas, right?
That's right.
And it was 6:30 in the morning, and an American Airlines pilot called the FAA tower and reported that passengers were smelling fumes like matches were being struck. And so the FAA told them, well, you better not take any chances. Come in for an emergency landing.
Right.
Which basically means return to Nashville, right? Turn around and come back is what
right.
they're doing because they took off from Nashville. And you got to understand, you know, these days you smell something that smells like fire
yeah.
on an airplane. You're already a little hypersensitive to what people, you know, you're thinking about, hey, where's the shoe bomber? You know what I mean?
Exactly. So the FBI is waiting for the plane when it lands. And they take all 99 passengers off, all five crew members, and they search the plane. And they find some evidence of matches being lit. And they found it in an individual seating area,
mm-hmm.
not in the bathrooms. It was near someone's seat, which I guess would be like on the floor in the little back
right.
couch or whatever it is. They found burnt matches. So they found out what seats they were, and they went and questioned those people. And they found a woman who admitted to lighting matches. And the reason that she does it was to mask the farts that she was...
oh.
That she was doing there on the plane. So she was farting, and then she thought, oh, man, this is really going to smell. I better light a match.
Oh, no.
So she lit a match.
Oh, God.
And she had to tell the authorities, the FBI,
oh.
I'm sorry, I had to light a match because I was really
gassy.
Having some...
just a minute, having some problems on the plane.
I shouldn't have had that bean toast tata before we took off.
How awesome is that?
God.
Look, occasionally there's going to be a bad smell somewhere, and it's no fun for anyone involved. Either, you know, either side of that, the fart, there's no fun. But on an airplane, how does it ever make sense to you that I'm going to light a match? How is that the answer?
Yeah, that is pretty stupid. That's... I have to admit. Run to the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it in the bathroom, I imagine. You could also, for the most part, pretty much just wait. Right?
Yeah, unless you're absolutely. Like, yeah,
unless it's you're not permanent.
Unless you're a fart terrorist like Money is, or right. some of our other friends who enjoy laying bombs like that in very crowded places.
Yeah.
You know, elevators or something like that. But this woman had to tell the FBI that she had bad gas and she was lighting matches to cover it up. So they talked to her and they talked to her and they talked to her. And then they finally say, all right, that's all it was. You can go. And yeah. She says, well, I'd like to get back on the plane to go where we're going. And they said, not so much you on this plane. And they kept her from getting on the plane to reboard when everybody else went.
I bet the other passengers were pretty mad at her. That was probably for her own safety.
Can you imagine?
Besides which, she was probably farting during all the interviews.
They should have let her go back on the plane, but put her on very last and then made an announcement. You people want to know why we landed? The woman that's just about to get on the plane had gas.
And maybe
and
still
was
does.
Lighting matches. What do you say to her, people?
Oh, God.
You know, whoever was planning to meet her plane in Texas, she now has to call and go, well, okay, you're not going to believe this one, but I'm not going to be there because we had to turn the plane around. Oh, my God, what happened? Well, it was me.
There's no way she would say it was me. She would say one of the passengers was lighting matches. You know, there's no way you would admit that because that's way too embarrassing. It's a woman, too. It's not even a guy.
Well, sometimes it happens to us.
Well, but not. She was prepared. She had matches ready to go, man. She knew this was coming. Better get a big match for this one.
Yeah, no kidding.
I wonder how she covered up the sound.
I used to think flatulence was something to laugh about.
Right.
Truth is, 300 million Americans a day expel gas through their anus.
Mm-hmm.
To learn more about flatulence, you can visit my ass.
Hey, let me hear my favorite song, because it is the most wonderful time of the year that we all look forward to the mostest.
Time to interview another Miss Double D contestant.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
What? Knockers.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my this is hard.
All right, let's say good morning to Katie. Hi, Katie.
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Katie.
You know, Lighting was telling us he was having trouble getting on the phone there for a second. You do have a landline also, don't you? Because he's going to hate you if you don't.
Well, hopefully he doesn't have to hate me. No, I don't have a landline.
Oh. Ooh,
look at that. He's just spinning out right now. He's furious at people who are cell phone only, Katie, but it's not your fault. We love you anyway. All right. So you go to KROQ.com, you click on Kevin and Bean. You can see the pictures of the 10 finalists for Miss Double December 2007. We're talking to two per day. We talked to Lauren C. early this morning. Right now we have Katie on the line. Katie, welcome. First of all, it says here you're originally from Washington State. How long have you been in Southern California?
I moved here in June, actually, from Whidbey Island, which is about an hour north of Seattle.
June?
No kidding. You just came down in June. What brought you to L.A.?
Basically, what brought everybody to L.A., acting.
Yeah. How's that going for you?
Haven't got a whole lot of work yet, but doing some independent stuff.
All right.
Is that porn?
It's a great question.
I haven't really went down that road yet.
But you will if you need to.
Just
give it another year. All right. Yeah, so you're brand new to the area, brand new obviously to KROQ. What made you think, hey, Miss Double December 2007, something I want to shoot for?
Actually, I started listening to the show because I was a big fan of a show I used to listen to in Seattle, which is the BJ Shea Experience. And actually, I'm pretty sure Bean, you're a friend of BJ.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait a minute. B's not a friend of any of us. How's he a friend of that guy?
Because his name is BJ. Say that.
I'm having dinner with the dude tonight. So from time to time, he's probably mentioned our show. So you checked it out when you came to town. And then you heard about this Miss Double December thing. And you thought, hey, that's a way into show business.
Wait a minute again. You're having dinner with somebody?
I am, yeah, tonight, as a matter of fact.
Bean doesn't go to, like, Ralph's wedding or anything we have personally.
This isn't really about me as much as
this dude named BJ, Bean's going out to dinner with.
Mm-hmm. I think Katie is where we need to focus our attention.
Oh, right, I'm sorry.
Okay. So that's let's take a look at you had some interesting answers for the questionnaire that we ask all the girls to fill out. What celebrity would you like to be stranded on an island with? And you picked an 80-year-old man, Katie. What is up with you and Anthony Hopkins?
Well, you know, I thought he did play Hannibal the Cannibal.
Right.
So if I did have to get deserted and there was a chance that I wasn't rescued, I wanted to be able to serve a purpose.
Okay. That scares me, but okay.
I'm in a really weird mood. I'm sorry.
Now, your occupation is a pet groomer and a karaoke DJ.
Right.
Does that mean you're the person up on stage that's, like, singing along with the songs and trying to get everybody else up there?
Yeah. I announce. I make sure everyone's applauding when everyone's done. And
okay. All right.
Boy, she is just
she's comfortable.
An odd duck, isn't she?
Yeah, well, no kidding,
man. I can't get my head around her. All right, most unusual place you've ever made whoopee? Well, that's in the butt, of course. We can see that.
Bob. And, you know, I put the explanation of that answer on, but I thought it was very clever that you guys decided to leave that part out.
I didn't read your original explanation, but okay.
Okay. Did you guys see the Newlywed Game?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
In the butt, Bob.
Yeah, we actually play that clip from time to time. We love that, which is funny.
Yeah. Now, this is unusual, too, because Kevin mentioned a little while ago that most of the girls pick a song like a Marilyn Manson song or a Nine Inch Nails song or something like that, a Metallica song. If you were a stripper, the song that you would love to dance to is a song a lot of our audience may not even know, a ballad by Billy Joel called She's Always a Woman to Me. That may be the worst stripper song, Katie, I have ever heard.
Did you pick that to be funny?
Not sexy.
Did you pick it to be funny?
Yeah, and you know what? I love Billy Joel. No. I figure if someone like Billy Joel doesn't turn you on, then there's just no hope.
There's no hope? Yeah. All right. Well, at least he's got a sense of humor. There's no possible way she would ever do that. And then you lied again when you say, if you could have one superpower, what would it be and why? Why don't you tell people what you wrote?
I wanted X-ray vision, basically because I wanted to see what Bean was packing down there.
Well, yeah. I'm going to tell you, you don't need X-ray vision, baby. All you got to do is ask. That's all there is.
You just need him around and a microscope. That's all you need.
You work with pets. You know what neutered means.
Oh, how dare you. All right. A couple of boilerplate questions that we have to ask all the ladies. And again, you go to the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com. You can see two pictures from Katie, and you can decide if she's worthy of your vote to be Miss Double December 2007. How long ago were these photographs taken? There's one of you wearing a red, white, and blue swimsuit leaning over, and then there's another one of you in a bustier. Are these fairly recent photos, Katie?
They're both from a couple of months before I moved, so about
within the last
9 months.
Have you packed on like 200 pounds since then?
No, okay. I did put on a tan.
A tan, okay, that's fine. Just check.
Are you, two more questions for you, Katie. Are you now or do you plan to be pregnant within the next year?
Definitely not.
Okay, good.
Okay, and tell us about the girls. How long have you had your double Ds?
Oh, it's been, 3 years.
3 years.
Well done. All right. Well done.
Nicely done.
Nice job.
All right.
All right, Katie. Well, listen, I'm glad we got a chance to meet you. As I say, the voting goes on all this week. We'll talk to two girls per day. And then Friday morning, we're going to be making the call to let some young lady know that she has been crowned Miss Double December. And then, of course, the rain starts this weekend. Whoever wins will be going to both nights of the KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006 this weekend at the Gibson Amphitheater. So good luck to you, Katie. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. KROQ.com, the Kevin and Bean page, if you want to vote.
You know, everyone's got the war on their mind, not just the war with Iraq, but wars all over the world. Everybody wishes for peace, but how many people are really doing something about it? I'm happy to say that our next guests have come up with a great idea that sounds like a lot of fun, won't encourage peace, but sounds like a lot of fun and you ought to do it anyway. Let's welcome Donna Sheehan and Paul Reffel, the founders of globalorgasm.org, to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, you guys. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
So global orgasm, how do you explain it to people in just a few words that haven't heard about it, guys?
Well, it's our way of trying to promote a little positive energy in the world by having as many people as possible, millions if possible, or billions come to that, trying to come to orgasm all at the same on the same day and with the intention for peace during and after. If they can concentrate on thoughts of peace afterwards when they're in that kind of meditative state that comes after orgasm, mm-hmm. that'd be great.
All right, let me just ask the first question that comes to my mind, which is everybody's for orgasms.
Yes.
but thinking about peace while orgasming is going to affect people how?
Well, The idea was to, we heard about the Global Consciousness Project, which has been measuring the effects of consciousness on the energy around the Earth. So you can pick up when global events are happening, when people are focusing on something. So we thought, well, how could we make this, make it a positive thing and put a little positive energy into a very, what seems like a real negative world at the moment with people killing each other everywhere? So we thought, what would induce people to join in and think positively for a few, for a while at any rate, and put a little positive energy out? So we came up with orgasm, because everyone likes to do it. It's powerful energy, and if you can combine that with a little spiritual and mental energy as well, hey, it's a, who knows?
What kind of reaction are you getting? And by that I mean, is there a place that people go and sign up so you can tell how many people are planning to participate? Or what are you hearing back from the, what kind of feedback are you getting on the idea?
Donna?
Well, as far as feedback, the media has, all over the world, has been knocking on our door. Every hour we're talking to a different country.
Mm-hmm.
So the press, yes, has spread it, as well as the digital swell of the computer.
The blogs are just humming with it. There's a blog online at the website, globalorgasm.org, of course. And there's also a forum there now. Our webmaster just put a forum up, so people can
I see this. You know what? I see this being extremely useful, guys, is if you're in a relationship, you're a guy, perhaps you've not been able to close the deal, you can go to your lady and you can go, seriously, it's not me.
It's for peace.
It's not for me, baby. It's for peace.
Right.
December 22nd, we have to do it, because otherwise we're just condoning war.
There you go. You couldn't have said it, but we couldn't have said it.
So you're either with us or you're against us. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, without getting into too much mumbo-jumbo detail, it was fascinating to me something you said, Paul, and you were talking about global consciousness. Are there people who believe that there is such thing as everybody thinking about the same thing at the same time, and somehow that affecting a change on the Earth, tapping into some sort of conscious energy for real?
Well, you know, they're doing research into it. It's a professor who's at Princeton. He's doing an independent thing. But there are these, he has random event generators that are spitting out numbers all the time around the world. And like I say, they've picked up changes in the energy field. And actually, it shows up as the random event generators become less random. So the human consciousness is having an effect on energy and matter.
Is this kind of in the family of people who believe that if you get enough people to pray for something to happen at the same time, you can actually see it?
Historically, prayer as well as meditation is no different.
It's kind of like, you know, you walk into a room and you know if everyone's having a good time or if you're going to be in trouble. It's that kind of thing. You know, there's negative energy and positive energy, and we're just trying to put out a little positive.
So if enough people think about peace while having an orgasm on that day, Osama bin Laden's going to say, you know what? I'm not so angry anymore. I feel a change of heart.
Well, we'd like to enroll him also.
Yeah.
It's amazing. We're getting emails from that area of the world, so who knows?
Yeah.
We know that our Bearing Witness movement covered the Middle East, and it's secretly, of course, they pass this information from one to another.
Right, and how'd that work out for world peace?
Well, yeah.
And the great thing is that that nobody has to tell anyone they're doing it if they're going to get, be in trouble for even.
Sure.
So Hezbollah is going to say, look, I know we've got a lot of missiles pointed at Israel, but let's not use them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you go.
Hey, and
also,
this is for single people, too. You don't have to have a partner.
Yeah.
Oh, that was going to be my next
Sometimes
question.
Sometimes easier without.
Yeah.
That's fantastic news. All right. So,
And one more thing.
Yes.
And can a woman over 50? 60, 70, 80, yes.
Ugh. Easy, Donna. What's going on with you?
Guys, we're going to encourage people to go to globalorgasm.org to find out more. But just for folks listening, is it at a specific time on December 22nd, or does it not matter?
No, we're just saying the 24 hours of December 22nd, wherever you are and whenever you can do it during that day.
Okay.
And it's going to take a lot of practice, by the way. So
I don't see it really helping peace, my own personal opinion. But there's nothing wrong with an orgasm, so
it
what the hell, right?
Your peace. If you're helping your peace, and if billions of people are helping their own peace, then hey, who knows?
I guess, but I'm not the one that's causing problems in the world. Well, I am causing my own. But I was reading an article on you guys, too, from a San Francisco newspaper, and it says once you've committed, there's even a secret sign to show others that you plan to take part. Flash the universal okay sign.
Which, of course, is your first index finger with your thumb making an O.
An O.
And then you're supposed to wink as well at other people.
Oh, 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 oh.
And then, that's going to get somebody
does
beat
it
up.
Back to you, you know that they are doing it as well. So there you go.
All right. So spread the word, guys. Get it on December 22nd. Globalorgasm.org is the website if you want to check it out. Hey, they're doing more for peace than we are, Kevin. I'm not going to rain on this person, I'll tell you.
I don't think so. I don't see much good from this except for the feeling of an orgasm. All right.
Donna and Paul, thank you so much for coming on. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye now. By the way, I think Pat O'Brien may have been ahead of his time. Because they want you to give the okay sign with you, right? If you agree, you know, look at somebody else and give them the okay sign and wink.
Right.
Just to let them know that everything's on and everything, and you're going to have an orgasm when they do. Listen to this.
You're so f***ing hot. So f***ing hot. F***ing your ass. I want to f***ing make you crazy. If you get this message, just look at me and say yes.
Look at me and say yes. See? Same thing.
Same thing.
Give them the okay.
Yeah.
Say yes. He's trying to prevent world war with that. And we thought he was just being creepy.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
Good guys. Nice man. I'm just I'm a little snowed under here.
You have a lot of paper.
I sure do. See all these emails that just come in the past hour?
Oh, about not playing the Eddie Money anymore,
no,
please?
No, quite the opposite, my friend.
They look like they're all the same one.
Just no.
Copies of.
Look, this one even sent a little visual. Album cover of the Money Man.
Yeah.
That's Saul Favela.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling us from the 323.
They're mocking you, Ralph.
The Money Man rocks. Play the Xmas song. That's from Saul. Let's see. This one comes from Joe. Dude, Kevin and Bean can keep their effing acoustic Christmas tickets. I'll take two tickets to Paradise any day instead. That's from Joe. Appreciate it,
Joe. This show down the road to Jack, maybe, and be on Jack FM talking about Any Money instead, or...
Ralph, I'm hard to believe. I'm not the only person writing in support of the Money Man. Play the whole song.
Bean mentioned earlier this morning, Eddie Money was popular 25 years ago.
He's always been popular, always will be popular. He's evergreen, my friend, much like the Christmas tree itself. He's evergreen.
This is your strange obsession that no one else shares.
Garrett, remember Garrett who got the tattoo on his leg of us?
Questionable choice at best.
I came in late on the Showbiz Beat last hour. I missed you playing the Eddie Money Christmas song.
He's a fan.
Oh, please replay it every hour, every day, until Christmas.
See, they're just doing that because they know Bean and I don't want to play it because it's so bad.
They're doing it because it's great, because the Money Man rocks, and because it's not Christmas until you hear Eddie Money singing How Everybody Loves Christmas.
Is there any kind of Hollywood or showbiz celebrity-type news you could be doing now instead?
Yes, this news just in. Shut up. There you go. That's from Hollywood.
You know, you yell at Bean a lot for not, quote, knowing his audience.
Absolutely.
When he's telling a story.
I know my audience. These listeners who have been pelting me with emails.
So you have three of them.
Look, it's a whole stack. I've just read a small selection of the demands that are coming in.
He's a homo.
For Eddie Money's Christmas song. And now I'm going to share my Christmas spirit with the world by playing just a taste. Maybe we should play the whole song.
We don't have time.
Should I get
this?
Well, we
don't
have time. We got Panic at the Disco here.
Our pants running a little late. Maybe we can fill.
They're here. You don't have anything else in celebrity news you can.
Maybe we can fill with a little Eddie Money Christmas song. What do you think?
Here's a little taste of it. All right.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, come on.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Not the song.
If that was the song, I would be in.
Not the song.
Good time for everyone. Everybody loves Christmas.
Come on now.
I'll count the ways.
Get the sleigh.
You know it's almost here. Well, Christmas Day.
We're going to go out and just make snow angels.
Gay people? Yeah, we don't need to.
Wrap some presents.
Eddie Money.
Eddie coming down the tree or the
Eddie
chimney.
Doesn't come down the tree.
Yes, he does in my house. He comes down the chimney and brings us all gifts. Speaking of which, did you see Studio 60 this week?
I saw part of it,
By the way, I still F you. It's one of the best shows in television. I know no one's watching, and I know a lot of people don't like it.
I love it, too.
I love it so much.
I do, too.
And it's getting better and better and better.
I agree.
Really finding its voice as the season progresses. But this week was their Christmas episode. They were doing the Christmas episode of the fictional show that they all work on.
Right.
And they came up with a sketch, which I thought was so funny, I wish I could have seen it on a real comedy show. Santa Claus comes down the chimney, and he comes out, and he's eating the cookies left behind by the kids, and in walks the dude from Dateline NBC. And they're doing To Catch a Predator. And he's like, so, would you like to tell me why you're here
in the middle of the night visiting a 12-year-old girl. And Santa's like, well, that's what I do. Oh, do you? That's how you get your jollies, is to come into children's homes in the middle of the night? No, she wrote me a letter. Oh, so she wrote you letters. So you think you can just visit some 12-year-old? It was just hysterical.
That's awesome.
It was so funny. Anyway, love that show. All right, that's it. I'm out.
That's it?
No, I got other stuff.
All right.
Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn have split up after a year. This is official now. This is official breakup news. It's official.
Official now.
Nobody cares.
It was never official in any way.
Yeah, we don't know. It wasn't official when they were dating. They weren't dating. I had an ass full of this story.
Yeah.
I hope they do break up now so we can just stop talking about them, because it barely exists, this relationship.
I hope it's a murder-suicide pact is what I hope at this point.
Wow, you're taking it a little further.
Wow.
Vauniston, he called them, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All the hip kids on the Qua, that's what they're calling over there.
Just one of the names that the tabloids have dubbed them, that's all. I hate it, too.
L.A.'s Children and Family Services it hasn't gone unnoticed by them that Britney Spears is running around getting loaded every night with Paris Hilton, not wearing any underwear. So, according to the New York Post's Page Six, they've called to make an appointment with Britney to talk about her children.
She's got partying to do for the next 2 weeks, but after that, she might have some
time. She might be able to squeeze them in?
Yes.
Like, she knows where her kids are, by the way, to have the appointment.
Y'all, can you find my children? I got to meet somebody.
You guys, I'm showing up. Yes, Miss Spears, we'd just like to talk to you about it. Get the kids! Run! And they grab the kids, and they just run out the door, her chasing after them. So, we'll have to wait and see. But apparently, they think it's odd that she's out carousing every night with Paris Hilton and company when she's got a newborn at home.
Well, there's that.
I'm sure the kids are being well taken care of.
Sure.
Bean was mentioning earlier today, that last night on one of the entertainment news shows, Courtney Love was on the red carpet talking to an interviewer, and she said, you know, you can say whatever you want about me, but when I had Frances, I was home every night of her first year of her life. I was with her every day.
Yeah.
When Courtney Love kicks your ass as a mother,
yeah,
you gotta give up those kids.
That's not good.
Surrender. You lose.
Ralph, you don't know much about kids, I know, but I'm an authority. And that first year is not a big bonding experience between the parents and the child.
No.
It's okay if you skimp in that first
year. That's when they need you least, because they're really just blobs. They don't do anything, just poop and eat. So they don't even have personalities until after the first year.
I always heard the opposite of that. Where are you getting your information from, B?
Oh no! I'm pretty sure I have that right. Okay. It's just you just go out with Paris with no underwear on for your first year. That's just good advice.
All right. Yeah, that's in Dr. Spock's book, I think, about raising kids. He talks about that. Yeah. Underwearless parenting, I think it's called. You check it out. Speaking of Britney, she is the most searched name on the internet this year. Yahoo does a list every year of the most searched for names on internet search engines, and she came up number one this year. The sixth time in 7 years that they've done this list that she has been the number one most researched person on the internet. Second this year was Steve Irwin, as you can imagine. Yeah. His death was big news. Then the rest was all chicks. Shakira was third over Jessica Simpson and Paris Hilton.
That's surprising.
It's surprising to me, too.
It's her hips, guys.
You know what? You're right.
That's what it is.
She has very honest hips.
That's true.
You don't even have to swear her hips in when they testify in a courtroom.
Is that right?
They don't even have her hips put a hand on a Bible and swear, because they know her hips don't lie.
Her hips can testify in court?
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
And they have hands.
And Jennifer Lopez, she wants to get pregnant so badly, she is turning to Scientology. In Touch magazine reports that her friend Leah Remini, star of King of Queens, has taken taken J-Lo under her wing to help her with the purification process that the Scientology people are known for, so that her body can get rid of all toxins, and that will open her up to getting pregnant, she claims.
Yeah.
It's funny, Scientology Center, it's got to be jam-packed with people trying to get that process done, you know? There's all kinds of Scientologists. I'm sure they all want to get their toxins cleansed, and they're probably lined up there to take the vitamin and exercise regimen that is recommended by Scientology to purify your system.
The only thing that makes this bit better is the length with which you set it up.
I am surprised, even with her high-powered celebrityism, that J-Lo could just jump to the front of the line and just get the treatment done before everyone else, considering the names on the list. It must be miles long, that list.
The same thing when you think about John Travolta and Kelly Preston,
right.
About Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes, think about all these other high-profile couples that you think would be ahead of Jennifer Lopez. I don't understand, Ralph. How is it that the Scientology Center is able to assist her so quickly?
Well, I did a little research, but you know what? Turns out there's always room for J-Lo. How long do you think I've been doing that bit now?
How long
have you had to guess?
How many years
do you think I've been doing it?
Way too many.
Four?
Well, there's no one alive today who remembers the commercial that you're parodying. Well, that's true.
There's always room for
J-Lo.
There's always room for Jell-O is what they used to say in the old commercial.
What?
Oh, never mind.
There's an old commercial?
Today's celebrity.
The guys in Panic at the Disco just packed up their stuff. They're heading back out to the bus. They're leaving now.
Really?
I'll go catch them.
I'm going to join them.
I'm going to catch them. Janine Turner from Northern Exposure turns 44 years old today. Peter Buck, guitarist for REM, turns 50. And Stephen Wright, very funny comedian, is 51 years old today. Don't hear enough from Stephen Wright anymore. Used to be, he was all over the place. Used to be on all the talk shows, and he used to have specials on HBO and stuff. I don't know where he's gone, but I sure miss him. He's pretty funny. Take a listen.
I spilled spot remover on my dog. Now he's gone. I put instant coffee into a microwave oven. And I almost went back in time. I have several hobbies which I enjoy to the fullest. I have a large seashell collection which I keep scattered on the beaches all over the world.
Spilled spot remover on his dog. It disappeared.
See, Kevin, the dog's name was Spot.
See?
What the joke is there?
I don't think you get it.
I think you're missing
the point.
Do you
not understand the joke?
I get it. I think you're missing it.
I get it.
I'll explain to you later.
All right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What about Panic! Exclamation point at the Disco on the bill Sunday night and in the studio of the world famous K-Rock right now, guys.
Hey. Hello.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Now, did we send a guy out to the parking lot to start shaking the bus to wake you guys up? Did you guys really just get up? You were on the bus a minute ago sleeping?
You guys threw a smoke bomb on there, and that's how I awoke. Thanks a lot, guys.
Tear gas.
I know you guys have been working really, really hard since your album came out, and you've been touring all over and stuff, but do you ever just you wake up and you go, I got to get out of this goddamn bus. I can't keep living on a bus.
Yeah. We were in Europe for about a month with one bus and 14 people on one bus, and I think we had that feeling every day for the past.
Yeah, those are long days on the road, aren't they?
Yeah,
very long. Do you look back when you're on the bus and say, "This is not what I pictured as being in a band. This is not
not as glamorous,
right? Exactly
as you might have hoped."
Well, actually, when we started, we were in a van, and that's kind of more what I pictured.
So, in a van, okay.
So this is more like
it's actually better,
like a family road trip.
Yeah. Okay.
Like the Partridge Family?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. when you're out there and you're you're crisscrossing, like you're doing, you know, 4 or 5 dates in the southwestern U.S. this week, do you ever get the chance to stay in a hotel, or is it all bus all the time?
We get one day off a week where we get a hotel.
Yeah.
One day off.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I can't imagine.
Wow, that sucks.
Not so bad.
That's
rough.
No, it's pretty sweet.
Not that bad. It's all right.
All right.
Well, let's talk about
I had Pop-Tarts and Capri Sun for breakfast. So
oh, that's the breakfast of the champions right
think
there.
That.
Going to Denny's.
Yeah. That's luxury.
What kind of Pop-Tarts, dude? What did you have?
Strawberry.
Oh.
The best.
Frosted or not frosted?
Frosted.
Frosted, of course.
Oh, that's
a
great deal right there.
That's the best breakfast ever.
How long have you guys been together? It's been, what, 3 or 4 years now at least, right?
About three years.
Does it seem like this is all happening fast to you, or does it seem like, wow, we put in the hours, it's about time we made it, and people started hearing about us?
Everybody says, oh, you guys got successful overnight, but it really doesn't feel fast for us. I mean, we've been doing this band for about 3 years, and me and Spencer have been playing together for about 6 or 7. So I guess maybe we just started a little bit younger than other bands, but I mean...
But when you see groups like No Doubt that are together for 14 years before they put out a record, you know, I mean, you can understand that there are bands out there that are together a really long time and have trouble getting someplace.
Yeah.
Our situation was just really lucky.
I think, you know, if we had been, unfortunate enough to not have gotten what we've gotten so far, we would still be trucking along.
Now tell us about the way that you guys got discovered. Was you sent a link to your music to the guys in Fall Out Boy because they were looking for bands? Is that it?
Yeah, Pete had started an imprint of the label they were on, Fueled by Ramen.
And you didn't have any connections or anybody that said, hey, you need to listen to these guys? You just sent them a link?
Yeah.
And that worked?
It did. We weren't expecting it to work at all.
How long after you sent him the link did he call?
Seconds.
Yeah.
Like, seconds. He wasn't even through the first
song. It was like an instant message thing, right?
Yeah.
Just got right back to you.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. It was a couple of days, really fast. But like I said, we weren't expecting that to work at all. So I kind of didn't even believe it.
Right.
I was like, this is one of my friends that thinks
played a joke
this
on
whole thing.
Me.
Yeah, exactly.
Joke.
Right, sure.
And then what was he able to do? What did he do for you then? He said, hey, you guys can record for this imprint and we'll put your record out?
Yeah. He came down to Vegas and we only had two songs at the time or three. He listened to the songs. We played them live and he said, okay, I think it's great. I want to sign you guys. So,
and you were like, excuse me? Really?
Yeah, pretty much. And so we had the next few
What's it like to play for somebody like that where you know that they're judging you and if they like it, you might be on your way. And if they don't, then he's just on his way. Is it kind of nerve-wracking?
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah? Because you're looking probably for any like sign in his face that he likes or dislikes it?
Yeah.
And what's the pressure like once he says, okay,
go
right.
You need more songs. Go.
Yeah.
That was so strange.
That was
because
crazy.
You know, a lot of bands will have a whole record and they'll shop it and then, you know, the label knows exactly what they're going to get.
I think that's how pretty much most of them do it, by the way.
Yeah. And so with us, we had three songs and they're kind of like, all right, well, we trust you guys to just make a good record. And
so you got 4 months. There you go.
Wow.
So I guess that, you know, that left us open to do what we ended up doing.
Interesting. And, you know, Kevin has always said whenever we get in a band that either lives in Las Vegas or records there, and there have been a number of them lately, he's like, how do you ever concentrate on the music when you've got all of that going on in Las Vegas? But you guys are from there, right? You grew up there. Is it boring to you to go to Las Vegas, or can you still get into the excitement of all that that city has to offer?
Well, last time we played there, I got kicked out of a casino.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Nice. For what?
Well, I'm not old enough.
Yeah.
None of
we're not old enough.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So
that makes sense.
Do any of
we try, but
I got another
successful.
6 months before I can really get into any trouble there.
Yeah.
Well, Lindsay Lohan is already going into rehab for drinking, and she's 20, so I think you guys can pretty
behind,
much
so
pull it off a little bit.
You've got to kick it up a notch.
Come on, guys. For God's
Panic
sake.
At the Disco is here playing the Gibson Amphitheater on Sunday. It's sold out. K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006 night number 2. They're on the bill with the Rockin' Tours and the Killers and Snow Patrol and She Wants Revenge, Foo Fighters, Beck, Evanescence, Gnarls Barkley. We've got a bunch more stuff we want to talk to you about the band. I mean, you've heard how they started, and then not long ago we saw them winning the Video of the Year on MTV. We have a very funny story to tell you about that that the guys may not even know about when we return right after this with Panic at the Disco on the world-famous K-Rock.
Let's get these teen hearts beating faster.
That song is called Lying is the Most Fun a Girl Can Have With Her Clothes On.
Without taking her clothes off.
Without taking her clothes off. Sorry. It says dot on here, so I just wasn't sure what it was.
It's whatever you want.
With a lot of your songs, Panic at the Disco is here at K-Rock. With a lot of your songs, it'll say the first like 3 or 4 words of the song and then just dot, dot, dot. And you can't believe how many crazy things that people just make up because they don't know what the full length of the title is.
That's awesome.
You have an unusual style, that's for sure. Panic at the Disco is here, and of course, they're in town because they're playing in Long Beach tonight. It's some sort of I regret to say I've not seen your stage show yet, but you guys have a circus theme, right? I mean, apparently there's a lot going on stage when you guys are playing.
Yeah, this tour was something that we'd been planning since we did our first headlining tour in the summer, and we've just, I guess, done nearly everything that we wanted to do.
You're already out?
Well, yeah.
And you guys aren't even old enough to go into casino yet. You can't be out.
Yeah, we've got 3 more shows and we're going to call it quits. So.
I mean, are we talking clowns or juggling or fire or what?
Everything but fire.
Yeah, I guess.
It's called Nothing Rhymes with Circus Tour.
That's right.
It's like a lot of, like, it reminds me of a musical, but with our songs.
Okay. Okay. Fantastic. Anything that's a little bit different than just going up there and standing.
Exactly.
Sure.
It's great.
Let me give out the info. If you've not seen Panic at the Disco and you want to, tonight's your chance because the Long Beach Arena is the venue. There are still some seats available through Ticketmaster. You can check Ticketmaster outlets. Panic at the Disco along with Jax Mannequin and Cobra Starship. That show is tonight. And, of course, Sunday on board the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006 with all those other great bands that we mentioned. So let's talk about New York City for a moment.
All right.
MTV Video Music Awards.
Yeah.
We were there. It was in, first week of September, I guess I want to say?
Yeah.
Last
and
week
were nominated
last
for
August. Yeah.
Last week of August, right? You were nominated for something like 5 video awards and ended up, shockingly to a lot of people, I think, winning for Video of the Year. How did that feel for you guys? I mean, you talked about how it seems like you've been working hard for a long time. It's not an overnight success, but to win the MTV Video of the Year had to be some beyond your wildest dreams, I would think.
Yeah. That was the award out of all of them that we didn't even consider winning because we didn't think it was possible.
You figured we might get some of the others, but not that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. when you're in a category with like Red Hot Chili Peppers and Madonna and Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
And our band names in there just seemed a little bit off.
They've got a few wins between the three or four of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They announced it and people were just like, who the hell is that?
Well, we were there and I snuck up front because my seats were in the very back row. And I was sitting right behind you guys when you won.
Really.
And I was like, fantastic, a K-Rock band won. So I jumped up when I saw the camera turn on you guys. I jumped up and I was going, yeah, both hands above my head like this. Like I was just a crazy excited fan because one of our bands won. This is awesome. And then I didn't think it showed because nobody said anything. But then I got back here and some of the people were watching and going, you were jumping up and down behind Panic at the Disco. That was the strangest
thing.
I'm
going to review that
video.
Look for that.
And Kevin, weren't you like 1 inch away from just going up on stage?
Pretty
much. Nobody's going to know. Seriously, who knows what these guys look like? I'm going to go with them and just head up on stage and get myself a moon man.
How many people know how many people are in the band, for God's sakes?
Yeah, exactly.
You might as well have.
I played tambourine. And I'd like to thank my family and God.
Does that put an awful lot of pressure on you, though, for the new videos, knowing that you've got the video of the year behind you? Now you can't just do like a cheap, low budget, let's shoot it in the garage and lip sync video, right?
Yeah, but like that's what we did on the first one, so it's kind of
stick with the.
It's kind of funny.
I got you,
but I don't know. I mean, we just loved making videos. We never thought that would win any sort of awards. I mean, we had a pretty laughable budget for that thing, anyways. And
yeah, and the other people that were in the category spent so much more money.
Yeah, and so
videos.
I don't know. It was great to get recognized for it, but.
I have two questions for you about being on the road. One is the kids in Japan, I was reading from your website, are completely silent in between songs. Is that true?
It is true.
Yeah.
It's just a different thing over there.
So it's like they don't think to make noise, and so you could hear a pin drop in between songs. That would, I think I would be freaked out by that.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I could whisper to Ryan on stage, and we're like...
And they could hear us.
People in the back row could hear you?
Yeah.
Wow, so, that's weird.
That's got to be bizarre.
Yeah, we were just like trying to start the next song right after the one we just...
Yeah, not have any downtime? Yeah, did it feel like the momentum was impossible to keep because of that?
During the song, they would be great. Yeah. And then right after, they would clap for maybe like 5 seconds, and then...
They just go silent.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that they chant to the beat if you get them started.
Yeah. They chant?
Hey, yeah.
Through the whole song.
Through the entire song, so it's pretty crazy.
And the other thing, you guys, you give messages to your fans when you're on the road, and John, who's not here today, unfortunately, is the guy who makes most of the entries. And I just would like to say that John has a little bit too much time on his hands, and you guys need to keep him more busy. Here is verbatim what John wrote from the road. There are a few things I've been thinking a lot about. I feel a list is needed. Shaving was a horrible idea. Pete and I have to purchase more sunglasses and sweatshirts. Mexican food does not get old. TV shows about prison or drugs entertain me. The McRib is back. Going to bed early feels great. John.
That's quite a list.
What in God's name is he writing about?
That's why we love him.
And here's the thing. McRib ain't back.
It ain't? I thought it was.
So not only is he giving you useless information,
false.
it's also
bogus. Wow.
Yeah.
That's sad. Well, you guys got a lot going on. You have, of course, K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas this Sunday night. You have Tonight in Long Beach with the Nothing Rhymes with Circus Tour. You have a CD that's out now, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out. You have a DVD, limited edition collector's box set out. And you're going to do a New Year's Eve show again with Carson Daly.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Our good friend.
Man. Good old buddy.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's quite a year, guys. We're happy for you. We dig the record. We're excited you're on the bill Sunday. We're really looking forward to seeing you. And I hope you guys are going to stick around and see some of the other great bands on the bill, too. I think you'll have fun if you're not all rocked out already.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Sure. We definitely will.
So again, tonight at the Long Beach Arena, if you want to buy tickets, there are still some available from Ticketmaster. And thanks a lot for coming in, guys.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
We appreciate it.
Before we get to your calls for What It Do, Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. Ralph Garman is here with some late breaking news. What do you have for us, Ralph?
Yeah, I just want to read this real quick email about our Miss Double December competition.
Yes.
And this comes from a listener, and I'm getting several of these, so I just wanted to address it right now. Stop the search immediately. I was at K-Rock the other day, and how can you guys have overlooked the obvious winner right at your reception desk?
Yeah.
I think her name is Erin, and she's perfect. You know why? You know why?
Why?
Because I can tell that she is a natural beauty, not like some of those chemical bimbos you have parading on your webpage.
Hey, we like chemical bimbos.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, he has.
All right.
And then he closes the email with, Erin. And I want to let you know, we hear you. We know better than you.
Yeah.
But she is an employee here at K-Rock, and thereby ineligible for the Miss Double December competition.
okay, let's dial the front desk right now and see if we can talk her into quitting.
All right, let's call her up.
Because wouldn't you rather have her as Miss Double December for a year than have her answering our freaking phones?
She's got everything. She is beautiful, charming, funny, adorable, built for speed.
I can't remember the number here.
Kevin doesn't know the number. K-Rock.
Well, I don't call the front desk.
All right, hold on. Move.
Is it, does she have double D's also, Ralph?
Oh, at least.
At least.
Wow.
At least.
I feel
and
like
if
a
I'm
homer
not mistaken,
here.
They are completely God-given.
Wow. I've never met young Erin.
What?
I've never met her.
Oh,
so.
you're at a loss. She's the best ever.
But you know what? We don't want Bean to meet her.
Hey, Erin, it's Kevin and Bean. You're on the air.
Hey. How's
it
doing?
How's it going?
We got an email from a listener suggesting that you be our Miss Double December.
I'm so flattered. I was presented with the email.
Nice.
Yeah.
Erin, I understand there was... This is Bean speaking, by the way. I don't think we've met, but hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Do you like much older married guys who live 1,000 miles away?
I could consider it.
No. Okay, fantastic.
The answer to that question is no, by the way.
There's a conflict of interest, I understand, because you couldn't enter the contest because you are, in fact, an employee of K-Rock. But what I'm calling to suggest is why don't you quit your job answering phones and just be Miss Double December for the next year instead?
Oh, as tempting as that is, does Double December pay my bills?
Oh, it pays a lot.
Oh, ooh. I'm sugar daddies, right?
not technically money, though.
I'm sure we could scrape together something between the bunch of us here on the show. And
I would contribute whatever percentage is fair, by the way, to support Erin for the next
put
year.
Put together a little fund.
Say like 20 bucks a month or something, right?
No,
each.
Each. Thank you.
Easy there, big spender.
Each, I'm saying.
Erin, it's just, it seems like you're being wasted at the front desk. It seems like there are girls out there that you need to be kissing. You need to be coming to Kevin to be in singles parties. You need to be coming to, you know, to the concerts, to the live broadcasts. I feel like we're missing an opportunity here, sweetheart.
Well, maybe we can work something out.
That doesn't work so well for her, Bean, because she can pretty much do that stuff anyway.
Yeah.
Shut up, Kevin.
Oh, sorry.
She was at our Halloween Valentine's singles party.
Oh.
In like a Renaissance type bustier sort of outfit, dress thing.
Did she say huzzah?
I said huzzah.
All right.
I saw her.
Gentlemen, start your boners.
Erin, we know you got to get back to work. Thank you for talking to us.
Thanks for my self-esteem boost, guys.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye now.
Seriously.
Sounds like a good deal right there.
Seriously.
What are you saying?
Seriously is what I'm saying.
Oh, seriously. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Time for Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
All right. How about a pair of tickets to see your Los Angeles Kings? They're going to be playing against the Dallas Stars at Staples Center. That is coming up a week from Saturday, December 16th. See hockey the way it was meant to be, guys, which is...
In person?
Live.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the only way.
That's the way. It's awesome. Let's talk to Brett in Portland, Oregon.
Kevin Bean, what it do, nephew?
You must be listening online.
I am listening online. Lisa May, what it do, baby boo?
Hey, Brett.
Hey. So check this out. I'm watching the Victoria's Secret fashion show last night.
Right.
And we're watching with a bunch of guys, and Justin Timberlake's on, and he's singing his Bringin' Sexy Back song.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And no one knows what I'm laughing at, but I'm cracking up because I can't get out of my head. King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Unfortunately, the King of Mexico did do a parody of that song about the Clippers.
Right, I know, and that's all I could think of. It was awful.
Did you try to explain it to them, or did you just say, it's a long story?
There was no point. Yeah. It was way too long. I just sat and laughed and enjoyed it myself.
Yeah.
It was
as bad as Dave's song is, still better than Justin Timberlake.
I concur wholeheartedly.
Yes. Yeah, that's
I think
true.
You're right.
Yes. For those of you that don't know, here's the song. As Dave writes up that the Clippers beat the Heat last night, he wants to make sure everybody understands that.
Congrats.
And here's a little bit of that song.
The Clipper Nation's back. Yeah. The Laker fans don't know how to act. Yeah. The Lakers suck, and we know that. Yeah. We're playoff bound, and that's a fact. Yeah. Tell them who they are. Elton Brand. He cleans the boards, cause he's the man.
Okay, the singing part is not so good.
Dino Mobley cuts through the lane.
Just flat enough to hurt.
Sam Cassell has a post-up game. Tell who the fans. Tony Jack got Malcolm in the middle. Tony Jack got Michael Clark Duncan. Tony Jack got Penny Marshall. Tony Jack got Dancing Daryl. Tony Jack got King of Mexico. Go Mexico. Got King of Mexico. Go Mexico. Got King of Mexico. Go Mexico. Got King of Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tired of Kevin being a psycho Mike not giving the Clippers their props.
Yeah.
With a team that also has Maggette,
right.
Thomas, mm-hmm. Ross, Livingston, and Kamen,
uh-huh.
It's over. You know who's the best in the West? There ain't no Warriors. There ain't no trails blazing. The Lakers are drying up. The suns are setting. Clipper Nation number one. 2006, you know they're going all the way. King of Mexico, and I'm out.
There ain't no trails blazing.
First of all, Lakers are doing fine. And second of all,
it's like 1-1 in the past 8 games or
Dave
something
writes
like
up, they are now 9-8. Woohoo. 9-8.
For the past 6 or 7 games,
yes,
they've dropped
sucked
them?
Ass. Yeah. Yes, they have, as a matter of fact. All right, let's take a few more phone calls. Let's say good morning to Susan in Carson. Good morning, Susan.
Hey, what's up, party people? What it do, nephew?
What it do, Susan?
All right, so I applied to work at Disneyland seasonally, and because my other job on campus was going to get put off for this semester.
Right.
I go, and I pass the interview, whatever, and they do a random drug testing, and they're like, hey, you know, you need a drug test. And I was like, all right, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been clean for a while, so I was like, all right, no big deal. And my other job tested, but that's when I got rehired, like, 2 years ago. So this new job on campus, they don't test.
Right.
So they were like, okay, you're employed, so, all right, you take the test. I didn't pass. And I was like, how can I not pass?
You didn't pass the drug test.
I didn't pass it, but it was like months ago, and I was like, well, what, you know, can I retake it? My thyroid is out of whack. Maybe that's what it is. And they're like, no, you can't retake it.
I can go home and study.
Yeah, I mean, they, oh, sorry. So,
careful there with that language.
Can't say that.
Sorry. So, they have my phone number for my other jobs. And I didn't think anything of it. I just thought,
wait,
all right.
Susan, well, hold on one second here. Hold on. Am I the only one who's lost the thread of this conversation?
No.
I can't follow what she's talking about with all the old job and the new job.
Let me recap.
Yeah, what's going on here? I'm lost.
She hasn't been tested in a while because her old job used to test, but the one she currently has on campus doesn't. So she applies to be a cast member over there at Disneyland. They test her. She fails. And the Disney people have the phone number of her current employer as a reference.
Exactly.
And
so they called both of my jobs, and the one on campus was like, well, that's not a big deal. My supervisor.
They called your other jobs to tell them that you failed the drug test?
Yes, they did.
They ratted you out.
They ratted me out, and so I got fired from
Susan, I love you. I'm glad you listened, but your storytelling is killing me.
Exciting story. I'm so excited.
All right. The point is, Mickey Mouse is a rat, is what you're saying.
That is BS.
Isn't that illegal?
That is invading her privacy.
Isn't it illegal, Susan?
It should be illegal.
It might be.
Did you get fired? Did you get fired because of it?
I got fired because of that.
All right, well, then that's funny.
It is funny.
Illegal, but funny.
As long as it ends really poorly, I'm in. Right. Okay. Well, thank you for the call.
I wonder if they can do that.
That seems bad, but
I wonder if they decided not to hire her after they heard her on the phone right there.
Oh, come on.
I mean, he's a little harsh with the storytelling.
I'm just saying.
He is just saying.
That's true.
Carlos and Chino, good morning.
Hey, good morning. What it do, nephews?
What it do, my friend?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I'm on the 55 freeway this morning, man. You know, it's early. You know, it's when we hawk our loogies. And I hawked one right out the window, man, and it hit a cop's windshield. The motorcycle cop, man.
You spit out the window and it hit a motorcycle cop.
Yep, and he pulled me over and he literally made me wipe it off his windshield.
Oh.
I am so disgusted when I see guys spitting out of windows.
But Lisa, you know, it's that time of morning when we hop our movies.
Right.
On top of that, he sided me, man.
So he pulled you over and said, get out of that car and wipe this off of my windshield.
Yeah, he told me I could be arrested if I didn't.
Pretty funny.
He made you lick it off.
That's awesome.
Lisa, why do you have to make bad words?
Disgusting.
Oh, but licking it off a windshield is not.
Well, then he wouldn't do it again.
What is wrong with you?
So gross.
All the things we talk about on this show, that's not really one of the more gross.
It's just to me.
All right.
Hey, can we talk to Elizabeth from Riverside? She tried to call yesterday. We didn't have time for her. She's back today. She says she has the perfect woman for me, and I'm intrigued.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, what did you, nephew?
Well, what did you do, nephew?
Okay, here's the deal. It might be impossible, but I think I found your perfect woman, Dean.
Is she unattractive?
Well, she works at the Smithsonian Post Office Museum.
Wow.
She is a well of post office facts.
So far, she's got it all.
Really?
Is she ugly?
Wow.
She's actually kind of pulling off the sexy post office guy.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Well, lady.
First of all, I don't know what Kevin's talking about with the unattractive and the ugly. That's not what I look for at all. Is she over 70?
She's not.
Oh, that's bad.
Well. How old is she, Elizabeth?
She's like about her mid-30s.
Way too young for me.
It's young for Bean.
Bean really loves the old people for some reason. I do.
Has she ever been on a sinking ship? That might give her some points.
On a lake?
Yeah.
Well,
Has she ever discovered a planet?
Well, you got to check her out because she's also talking about animals that were post office people.
How can he check her out, though, Elizabeth?
Go to D.C.
Okay, well, that's a long way to go for a girl. That's a good tip, though. Thank you.
Dean's gone further.
He has. That's true. Wow. Okay. Excellent. Well, that's it for today, I guess.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Well, kind of ended with a whimper, didn't
that's
we?
Enough,
yeah. A little bit. I want to thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including crazy old people Donna Sheen and Paul Raphael. They are promoting the Global Orgasm. Go to globalorgasm.org because that'll work, right? Also,
hey,
thanks to the
Where's the victim
double...
if we try? That's what I'm saying.
Well, there is none, but just don't expect it to change anything. That's all.
Thanks to Katie and Lauren C. They're the two contestants we talked to today who are vying for the honor of being Miss Double December 2007. You can go to KROQ.com and see all 10 finalists. If you click on their names, by the way, not only does the little picture get bigger, but you'll see a second picture, too. We've had a lot of people who have not been able to figure that out. But you can check them all out and vote. And then Friday, we find out who wins that. And thanks to the guys in Panic at the Disco for stopping out. Of course, playing KROQ's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006 this Sunday. You can still see them tonight, if you want, with Jack's Mannequin and Cobra Starship at the Nothing Rhymes with Circus Tour at the Long Beach Arena. Check Ticketmaster for details.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new show?
Is he dozing? What happened there?
No, I just thought Ralph looked like he was going
to
say something.
I wanted to say something, but it was something that Bean mentioned earlier.
Okay.
It was no longer relevant.
All right. Tomorrow morning, we're going to talk about a guy who faked being retarded for 20 years. 20 years. He acted like he was retarded.
We have Kevin Federline on the show tomorrow.
Nice. I have a nephew who's retarded, and he has to wear a helmet.
Right.
I guess it was, he got a payout from the government from the time he was 8 years old because the mom claimed that the son was disabled and they needed this additional money for help.
So mom, what do you tell an 8-year-old kid, tarred
yes,
up?
Yes.
Oh,
tarred
that's
up. Awful. That
yeah. And you know the kid had to do it at school and everything else, right?
They had to put him in a little helmet and he had to lick windows.
Aww. That's sad.
That's not a way to raise a kid.
No. Also, tomorrow morning, we're going to talk to a couple of more Miss Double December contestants.
Oh.
We have Mr. Skin, who is a guy who keeps track of nudity in movies.
Oh.
And he's got his top 5 nude scenes of 2006.
Love this guy. It's a fantastic site. Unfortunately, it is a pay site, but it is great. Every nude scene in every movie ever made is up on his site, essentially.
If Borat isn't in the top 5, I'm rejecting him totally.
Yeah.
Greatest nude scene ever.
That's true.
Greatest nude scene ever in
that
a movie.
Is true.
He will tell you that he only does girls, though.
Boo!
He doesn't do male nudity, I'm sorry to say. It's for you, Ralph.
Yeah, all right. And also tomorrow, if Mercury is in retrograde and you change your mind on something, you'll want to listen because we have an astrologer named Susan Miller, who we talked about on the phone.
Yes.
And a lot of people called who seemed to believe what she said.
I think she charted me.
And she's coming into the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, she did. Okay. You, okay.
I think she charted me up. So
we can test and see how it works.
Yep.
All right. So that's tomorrow morning.
Please do tune in for that. But if you believe in astrology, then your head's up Uranus. That's all I have to say.
Bang!
Be here all week. Try the veal.
Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock on KROQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles. She'll play The Verve for you. Also, Read My Mind, new music from The Killers. We got Pennywise, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Alien Ant Farm, and more right after this on K-Rock.